It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. Oh, what a great panel for you. Steve Kovac is here from Tech Insider, his new blog, techinsider.io. Jason Heyer for CBS Interactive and from iMore.com. The wonderful Georgia Dow. We're going to talk about the latest tech news, what to expect next week, I guess September 9th, with the Apple announcement. Talk a lot about the Apple TV. And Blockapalooza. It could be the end of the line for internet advertising. We'll talk about that. Lots more. The sad story of Notch, the creator of Minecraft. You can be a billionaire but not be happy. It's all coming up next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 525, recorded Sunday, August 30th, 2015. Nesquik and chill. This Week in Tech is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools they need to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/twit. And by Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. For a 30-day free trial, visit GoToMeeting.com today. And by Carbonite. You never know when disaster will strike at work or at home. Prepare for the unexpected with Carbonite. Protect digital files on your computer or server with secure, automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Visit Carbonite.com today and get two free bonus months with the offer code TWIT. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit Prosper.com/TWIT and receive a $50 Visa gift card when you get a loan. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the week's tech news. I love getting together with the TWIT panels every week. It's my closest friends, really, and I have no social life, so this is pretty much it. I'm so pleased to welcome Steve Kovac back to our studio. Steve's at businessinsider.com. You're sitting in a beautiful brick-lined study. It's gorgeous.
Thanks. Actually, it's my living room, but yeah.
Nice.
I love this exposed brick. It's like I'm in a comedy club.
Yeah. We'll call it Kovac's. Kovac's Chuckle Hut.
Perfect.
Thanks for being here, Steve. Also with us, Jason Heyer from Tech Republic, CBS Interactive. Hey. Nice to see you, Jason.
Great to be here, as ever.
You got a new chapter out in the book. We'll talk about that.
Absolutely. Love to.
Did we go through a few months of nothing, or was I just not paying attention?
No. Chapter 7 last month was Chase Jarvis. That chapter's still up for another 48 hours.
He's one of my favorite photographers.
He's amazing and just an awesome human being and great digital leader, innovator, too.
Where do we find that great book?
Followthegeeksbook.com.
Followthegeeksbook.com. And chapter 7, just for a couple more days, new chapter coming.
Yes.
Chase Jarvis is, we interviewed him a couple of times on Twit Photo. I just love him.
Yeah, fabulous guy.
Also here, Anthony's wife. I'm trying to give back, Georgia. Georgia Dow is here.
Oh, Anthony's going to love that.
She's from iMore.com. Her husband, Anthony, I've just learned for the first time.
Yes.
Was a caller to the old Call for Help TV show. He was he took half a day off work. He waited by the phone, and we never called him.
You never called. He's still waiting. I'll let him call in later. You can actually ask the question that he.
There you go. What was
then.
His question? I've got Windows 98, and I'm trying to decide whether I should upgrade to Service Pack 2.
I don't know. He ran IT, so it was probably something.
It's probably
a little bit more technical than Windows. It could have been. I'm not sure.
Besides writing for iMore, which has become my go-to place. I mean, of course, Renee Ritchie's there, Serenity's there, George is there. But it's become my go-to place for useful how-to information on Mac and iOS. But George is also a psychotherapist, and she's—is this a new enterprise for you, Anxiety Sarah-videos.com.
Yes, we just launched this video. So it's myself and it's Sandra Reese. She runs the Montreal Center for Anxiety and Depression. And she's one of my closest friends, my mentor. She's absolutely a phenomenal therapist. And so this is for people that may be dealing with anxiety but are too shy to go in to see a therapist. So you can download the video and deal with your anxiety at home.
Nice.
And also it's a good adjunct. So if you're dealing with therapy and, you know, you want to remember something or you want to deal with sleep or some certain set, you can get one of the videos and help yourself that way as well, because that's my specialty. This is all we do every day, is just really mainly deal with anxiety and depression. So, you know, it's something that we're pretty good at. And so we're hoping to be able to help more people.
I think people know about depression, but anxiety is so debilitating and so many people suffer from anxiety disorders. And it really, it's not just panic attacks, but all sorts of phobias and just PTSD. Mm-hmm. It's just terrible.
Yeah, OCD. There's many different aspects to it, and it stops people from living lives. Anxiety is like a game of risk, and it just takes larger and larger territories from you. And some people never leave their home or won't even leave their bedroom.
Yeah, most of our viewers actually. So we're talking to you. Go to anxiety-videos.com. Let's talk about tech news, because that's what we're here to talk about next week. Many of you will be flying to San Francisco. Apple sent out the invitation. Oh, you know what I need? Could you get me my iPad? So the invitation reads, hey, and I'll say, I won't say the S, I'll say Shlomo, okay? But you know what I'm talking about, S-I-R-I. Hey, Shlomo, give me a hint. And they announced it, that it's going to be September 9th. We kind of thought it would be September 9th. That's kind of when they always do it, first week of September. In this case, not a Tuesday because Monday's Labor Day, so they're going to do it on a Wednesday. The big surprise was Bill Graham Civic Center, which is a 7,000-seat venue. But, of course, as soon as I saw the invitation, I had to try this. Let me ask Siri. I'm sorry, Shlomo something. Give me a hint.
You're cute when you're desperate for information.
She's snarky. You're cute when you're desperate for information. Give me a hint.
Why don't you check a rumors blog? That's what I do.
Give me a hint.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I am not authorized either to confirm or deny that I cannot disclose anything that she would then have to confirm. In any case, I would deny it. Got it.
I kind of like it that Apple's got a little sense of humor, but this is the one. Give me a hint.
What? You can't tell from my colorful wavy words.
That's not the one. Give me a hint.
The only hint I can give you right now is a hint of Lyman that there's a big announcement on September 9th.
They actually built into Siri that there's a big announcement September 9th. Did that go live that day, the day the invitation must have?
Well, no one got to try it before, I guess. I mean, I'm assuming it went live that day.
Yeah. You have to really dig.
Siri's calling the web, right? So, I mean, I guess they could, in real time, they could update Siri at any moment, you know, with an update. It's not like they have to wait for a software update. So,
it's probable that after September 9th, she'll say something else if you ask her for a hint, right?
Probably. Indeed. I think it's brilliant, though.
It's good marketing, I got to say.
Yeah, because people love to be involved in something. And so this pulls people in. So it's not something that, you know, you're getting to watch. You're getting to interact with it being a little bit of part of the event. And it's something cute on their part.
So let's speculate. We got three good speculators here. And then me. I never get anything about Apple right. But let's speculate. Couple of question marks. Why such a big venue? And why is Shlomo so prominent in the invite?
Because of Apple TV. It's all about Apple TV. You know, I think that's going to be one of the headliner bits for the event is Apple TV and, you know, Siri in Apple TV.
Steve, you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the focal point. The iPhone 6S, you know, pretty much everything is like that already. It's just going to be iterative over last year's model, which was, you know, a big change. So I think a lot of the focus is going to be on the TV. And specifically, maybe those Siri controls, maybe they taught it something really cool. Like, you know, it's kind of weird thinking about talking to your TV. It's been kind of done before. Roku has it and stuff, but it's still a little awkward. Maybe
Fire TV has it, Roku has it, and Microsoft Xbox One have it.
Yeah, they all have. Oh, yeah, Xbox too, but yeah. It's terrible on Xbox.
Oh, yeah, I use it all work. The time. But I use it for commands. I don't use it for place. I don't tell it, let's watch Dukes of Hazzard. But I say things like pause, play, rewind, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That kind of stuff works on. Yeah. I mean, Fire TV though, the search on Fire
TV. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It works pretty remarkably. They, you just speak into that remote. You hold down the mic. You speak into the remote, and it's remarkably accurate. They've done some good work. I don't know if they're licensing. This is one of the questions I sort of have that I've been trying to figure out. Is like, are they licensing their voice recognition software, or do they have their own voice recognition division doing a bunch of research? I assume they're licensing it. It's probably a combination of the two. They're
Wasn't
licensing
it Nuance? It was Nuance.
Nuance? It is Nuance? Okay.
Well, it was. So that's a good question. Remember, Siri was an acquisition. Siri was a very cool application.
Yeah.
It did even more than today's Siri. You could make dinner reservations with the app. And I believe that was Nuance-based. But I do feel like Apple has slowly moved to it. This is Apple's way, right? Slowly moved to its in-house stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the Amazon, not only is Amazon Fire TV good, but, with the Echo, that's remarkably pretty good as well. And some of that may have to do with all the mics. There's all those extra mics in that. So it could be that it's getting the audio data in better and more clearly, and then interpreting it better. But Amazon's doing good work is the bottom line, and so there's pressure on Apple to respond because the Fire TV is a good device, and Apple TV is I've actually always liked Apple TV. I think there are people poo-pooed it, but I found it be super useful and the interface a little easier in general than like Roku, but with Amazon Fire TV and sort of the newer layers of, Netflix, for example, which is a lot of what people are accessing on these devices. Netflix itself, their native UI is a lot better. And the Fire TV UI seems to use a lot of those same kind of, models, from the Netflix, what Netflix has done, and it works really well. And it works seamlessly. So Apple, certainly the pressure's on for them in the TV game to get it right. And where they seem to have put most of the eggs in the basket right now is in making better deals with content providers. And they've done a good job with that. They've added a lot of channels. There are a lot of channels on Roku. There are a lot of channels on, on Fire TV as well. But Apple has a lot of the really big, the big hitters.
I wonder if I'm the only one. I'm really hoping that the Siri hint is that Siri is going to be a better digital assistant. I using it for my TV, that sounds nice, but I don't mind looking for the remote in the couch somewhere. I really want Siri to be able to help me manage my life, not miss my appointments, know when traffic is going to be too late, or, remind me to call, this person because this meeting has been moved up because I noticed in your calendar. That's what I'm hoping that Siri is going to give me.
I feel like we're really on the cusp of breakthroughs in voice recognition. And it's interesting, actually. Cord cutting, voice recognition, home automation, they're all converging on a point, aren't they? And certainly the Apple TV would be well positioned. Although, in my opinion, one of the reasons I don't like the Apple TV is it's so tied to the Apple ecosystem. I mean, it is really it's the only way you can watch iTunes TV and movies. Connected to your TV. It doesn't support Amazon streaming, which is, I think, critical. They do have HBO and Showtime. I feel like it's been left a little bit behind, a little neglected. This is an opportunity.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's. I mean, when I test the Roku versus the Apple TV, Roku just blows it out of the water. It's between the search is so much better. You can just search something like a director or an actor, and you get all the sources from where you can find that director or actor or movie or whatever it is you're looking for, whether it's Netflix or Vudu or Amazon. And again, like you said, Apple is just tied into iTunes. And whenever someone asks me, like, which one of these little boxes should I buy? I say, unless like you have all your stuff already in iTunes and you just want to be able to watch it on TV, go with Roku because you just have more options.
One little thing that Apple TV does better than anybody else is Netflix. First of all, everybody does Netflix.
Yeah.
But Apple TV, and I was told this actually by a streaming video guy, Apple's the only company that actually has in-house caches of Netflix content so that when you're watching Netflix on an Apple TV, you're getting it from Akamai. You're getting it from the Apple CDNs. And that
I had no idea about that.
I didn't either until he told me this. And he said, now that may be changing because remember Netflix has its own kind of competing technology where they put servers in the ISPs, NOC and so forth. But Apple did this first, and this guy told me, if you want the best Netflix, I wish I could remember his name, I can't, but if you want the best Netflix streaming, Apple TV, and I have to say I agree, Apple TV seems to be the most consistent.
It also has, I still feel like it has better content. It doesn't have as good a search, you know, like Steve's saying. I think the search is better on Roku, and now the voice search on Amazon is much better. But I do still find that there's more and better and higher quality content on Apple TV, both because iTunes has more than, you know, it's a one-to-one, like it's iTunes versus Amazon store, you know, when you're going, and they both do have things that the other doesn't, but, and it could be me and I'm sort of older than the stuff that I like, which is a lot of like documentaries and history and things like that, right. Or more on Apple TV than on Amazon. But I find that a lot of that stuff is better content, and also the channels they have, you know, to connect with places like NBC. You still have to have a cable subscription to do it, to connect like with NBC and PBS and other places like that. I feel like those, the interfaces and the experience in some cases is even the content isn't on Roku or Amazon. Like I said, I use all three. I typically do the same thing, Steve. I recommend Roku to most people just because I think it's super simple and it tends to be cheaper. But I do think Apple has an opportunity here, and they see it that if they can, they have to catch up, I think, to Amazon with the, you know, voice recognition and with some of those other things. But they have an opportunity to sort of go over the top and skip cable providers. Apparently, we're not going to hear that and get that yet. That all those deals aren't done, that they were supposed to be done by WWDC, and some of them are still on the bubble, and we're probably not going to see that till 2016. And so, with that, that leaves us with the Siri becoming the main event. But not only I think Siri, but that also has to do with exactly what you said, Leo, is home automation. I mean, we've heard some indications that, you know, a lot of the Apple home stuff is tied with the new version of Apple TV. It is reportedly more expensive. It's a little bit larger box. It's more expensive. And that's probably to do with the other piece, which is that you're going to actually finally be able to run apps on this thing, which mostly means probably games, right? And so it's probably a faster, you know, more expensive box with more hardware and more RAM so that it can run games, so that it can run apps. And as well as maybe, you know, some of the Siri processing, even though a lot of that's done, you know, in the cloud. But that makes it all pretty interesting, a pretty interesting thing to see which direction they're going to go.
I feel like Apple is at this point giving up on the rest of us and focusing on the Apple ecosystem. That, for instance, HomeKit will not obviously interoperate with anything but HomeKit stuff, right? It's going to be an Apple product designed for Apple people. Apple is, from everything I see, and Mark Gurman has a recently pushed article at 9to5 Mac about the new features, this is playing catch-up, as we've said, with everything that already does all this. But Apple, people who live in the Apple ecosystem will say, yay, we can now talk to our TV. Yay, we can do voice search. Because they live in the Apple ecosystem. It's almost as if they're on an island and they don't know what else is out there. And they're very, very happy to get these new features, even though most of us will say, well, but there's nothing new there. The can't was, maybe Steve, you can answer this. The common response to that is, well, yes, but Apple waits and then does it better. Is that still true?
I don't know if that applies to the Apple TV because it's just been slagging behind. I don't know what they can do that's much better. Maybe the Siri controls would be a lot better. But
Gurman says they're going to charge $200 for this. That's twice as much More than twice as much as a Roku.
And then at the same time, the App Store could be a big deal. So you'll finally get your Amazon on there and maybe some other third-party content stores.
Will Apple allow that? Will Amazon allow that?
I think they'll have to. Well, I think they'll do it.
I'll give you an example. Amazon is a very crappy experience on Xbox One because Microsoft says if you buy an Amazon title on the Amazon app, you give us 30%. That's exactly what Apple will say.
Yeah.
Whereas if you use the Amazon app on Roku, which doesn't take a cut, it's a much better experience because you have the full, you have the store. There's no store, and there won't be a store, I guarantee you, on the Apple version because Amazon's not going to give Apple 30% of everything it sells.
Yeah. It'll be like the iOS version with this. It's only the stuff I've either bought through Amazon or that's available on Prime.
It's not a good experience.
And if I want something new to pop up on here, I have to like go to Amazon.com, buy it or rent it or whatever, and then it pops up. So that's a terrible experience, but it's because Apple wants that cut, just like Microsoft does.
And it's confusing to people because I, of course, like you guys, I have everything. And it's a very confusing experience because, not for me, I know why this is happening, but Lisa will try to buy something on, we'll be watching Amazon on the Xbox One, and she'll say, well, why can't I buy, I don't see the store. I only see Prime. And I have to explain, well, that's because on this platform and on that platform, and that's a bad way of doing things.
It is bad. And home automation is the same game, too. So you know, this thing's very, very bifurcated, right? And the content experience between for this on-demand kind of content. That's why I think everybody uses Netflix because, you know, it's pretty simple, right? And it's straightforward, even if it doesn't have as much content in some stuff. But, you know, it's very bifurcated. Smart home is even worse. It's like four different ecosystems, right? And you know, the Apple Home, HomeKit, and then also, you know, now Google.
Well, Google's OnHub, presumably. I mean, they've got Zigbee. Not Zigbee, they've got Z-Wave. They've got one of the two built in, 802.15.4. So Google will presumably be a little bit more open. SmartThings, that's the Samsung solution, is designed to talk to Z-Wave, Zigbee, and many other things.
And so is Wink. Wink is protocol.
And I know at iMore, Georgia, that Serenity has tried some of the HomeKit stuff. HomeKit's more open than one would expect from Apple, I think.
It's more open and you know you have to trade off, right? So you're trading off security for a pain in the butt.
And that may appeal to people.
Products that you have.
That may appeal to
people. Yeah, it depends. Like we just installed Skybell, which is an amazing service. But then I was reading through their privacy policy and all of the videos, like every time if Skybell is a home automated, you know, doorbell and you know, you ring the doorbell, you get to see it on you can talk to the person on you and see the video on your watch. Well, the watch only sends you a message, and then on your phone you can see the video of who's there, and you can talk to them. So if you're lying down in bed, and you know telemarketers come by your door, you can just say no, thank you, leave, and you don't have to get out of bed, which is fabulous. But they store everything on their own server, and I'm like, well, what happens to this? What happens to all of these videos when people come into my home? And you know, I'm more security conscious. I think that it's something that we need to discuss. So, you know, if Apple's going to make sure that everything's secure, I don't mind waiting for that. I think that we often give up our own privacy for the short-term gain, and I don't know if that's always the most intelligent way to go through it.
I am going to take a stand against privacy. Somebody's got to.
All right.
Someone has to. You and the government.
Me and Mark Zuckerberg. I feel like
Google.
Everybody's so paranoid that nothing good can happen because everybody says, oh, you can't do that. Then you'll know what somebody's reading on the internet. And I just like, dudes, don't look. Don't you want HAL 9000? Don't you want to have a conversation with your house? Well, guess what? If you do that, it can't do it by itself. It's going to have to go out to the internet where people might hear you. Oh, my God. So what are we going to do? Not have HAL 9000 because of you guys being so paranoid?
Yes. HAL is bad. HAL bad.
Oh, that's true. HAL did kill everybody and then took over the
Maybe not the best example if you're trying to tell people to give up their rights and freedoms.
Okay, never
mind. Your house will kill you.
I'm sorry. By the way, that was Dan Rayburn of the Streaming Media Blog, who was the one who filled me in on that.
Oh, he knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. And it may not still be the case, but Apple for a long time was paying Akamai. So when you got Netflix on an Apple TV, you were getting it not from your ISP, in effect. You were getting it from a CDN, and it was totally a better experience.
Really interesting. Yeah.
Hey, let's take a break. I'm having fun. I hope you are, too. Georgia Dow is here from iMore.com and anxiety-videos.com. She's going to be here when I have that big nervous breakdown any minute now, so you can watch her medicate me by remote control. Also, Jason Heiner from TechRepublic.com, CBS Interactive. We got to find out about the new book. Oh, we did find out about the new book, Chase Jarvis. That's exciting, the new chapter.
And that was 7, and we'll talk about 8.
Oh, you got? Are you gonna? You're gonna tell the world?
We did. We just announced 8 this morning.
Okay, we'll find out. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Oh, cool.
Stay tuned. And Stephen Kovac is also here from Tech. Wait a minute, you just changed where you're from.
Yeah, there's a new site.
What's TechInsider.io?
It's the new site from Business Insider. I'm one of the deputy editors there now.
Should we pronounce it TechInsider.io or TechInsider.io?
Just TechInsider is good. Okay. Yeah, they're showing it on the screen.
Ooh, it's
now.
It's pretty.
That's our new site.
It's pretty.
It's BI's first spin-off site, and a third one is coming soon.
Oh, interesting. And the focus of this?
The broad theme is innovation, let's just say nice. That. That's the best way. So science, culture, consumer tech.
Well, and absolutely appropriate to start with memories of Oliver Sacks.
The great, that was so sad.
Neuroscientist. He actually wrote his own obituary, which is kind of interesting, in February in the New York Times, because he discovered that his cancer had metastasized, and he knew that that there was no cure and that he would die sometime this year. What a brilliant guy. I interviewed him once. He came in bright red suspenders on his big motorcycle. He was quite the character. And if you've not read any of his stuff, including The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, all his PBS stuff, and just a really great guy who lived fully right up to his last days. Really remarkable fellow. He did exactly what you'd expect him to do. And just a sweet guy. Quite a character. Let's take a break. When we come back, more from those fabulous panelists. But first, a word from FreshBooks. If you're a small business or a freelancer, this is really for freelancers. This is when I discovered FreshBooks. When I had to send, at the end of the month, I had to send out invoices. The worst part of the whole, I loved having many, you know, jobs, doing lots of different things. I hated having to open up Microsoft Word and Excel and create the spreadsheet and send it out, you know, get like the stamps, put it on the envelope, hope you get paid. When I discovered FreshBooks, and it's been a while now, it was just a revelation. FreshBooks lets you do invoicing easy, simple. You create these great professional-looking invoices. You send by email. Every invoice has a Pay Me Now button that makes it very easy for your clients to pay. Turns out clients want to pay you. Paying the bills is as awful as making the bills. So if you make it easy for them, you're going to get paid faster. In fact, FreshBooks users get paid on average 5 days faster. If you're keeping hours, you know, you're tracking time and hours, the FreshBook app will do that for you and automatically insert it into the invoice. Great for expenses, too. You could take pictures of the receipts, keep track of expenses, get them into the invoice as well. It is a super simple cloud accounting program that's giving thousands. Program's not the right term. Site, I don't know what you call it. Software as a service that's giving thousands of freelancers like you the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Create and send invoices in minutes. Organize your expenses easily. Track your time instantly. I'm telling you, you're going to wonder why you didn't start sooner. And the FreshBooks award-winning support rock stars are there waiting for your call. They're fabulous. They're in Toronto. There they are. Love them. Get started right now, free for 30 days, freshbooks.com/twit. And you'd do me a favor when they ask you, how'd you hear about it? Just say, I heard it on Twitter. This Week in Tech or something like that. Start your 30-day free trial today. We thank them. FreshBooks, we thank you so much for supporting This Week in Tech and the Twit podcasts. Anything more to say about the big... actually, you know, maybe even of more interest, frankly. I'll probably get the new iPhone. mostly because I sent my son my old iPhone because he broke his again.
He's waiting for it.
Well, he said, Dad, are you going to get the new iPhone? I said, well, of course. What are you doing with the old iPhone? I've heard that sound before. I said, I'll send it to you now. So I sent it to him. I'm going to get the bigger one.
I was going to say 6 or 6 Plus. Which one you got?
I got the 6, and I really liked the 6. And I was, for a while, saying, don't get the 6 Plus because it's just bigger because the apps don't really take much advantage of the bigger screen size. But I think that's changed over time. And more and more apps that take advantage of the extra pixels. See, I like a big phone. I'm using a Note 5. I like big phones. Yeah. I cannot lie. Those other brothers can deny. But
is your note broken?
Yes. How did you know?
I don't know. Everyone was jamming their pen in the wrong way.
No, there's no jamming involved.
Yeah.
That was the thing that I thought, because I read the articles. Phil Nickenson and Android Central was the first. And I read that. And if you put the pen in backwards, you can break it, right? And I thought, well, I'll just show how easy it is to get it in backwards. I won't put it in, because at some point I thought, well, it's going to fight me. No, it just falls right in. And then, don't laugh.
It was so funny, Leo, because when I was researching it, I was looking up videos. So I, being who I am, wanted to see people, you know, dropping their phone in when they're doing, you know, their box opening. And so then I see MacBook. I'm like, MacBook Weekly? I'm like, oh, okay. So I look through and I got to see you. I'm watching. I'm like, no, he didn't. And then I'm waiting. And then it's just.
Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did.
He did it. Oh, so geez. I got to watch you do the unthinkable.
And I think you can tell I wasn't making this up. I didn't expect it to happen. I wasn't intentionally breaking my phone. But what you don't realize is there is no resistance. Resistance is futile. You let it fall in, and then as you're pulling it out, suddenly you can't get it out. So I did not yank it. I did not pull it. I went to the AT&T store where I bought it and said, please, sir, I seem to have something stuck in my phone. And they said, well, what do you want us to do about it? I said, well, fix it. We don't do repairs here. You could send it to Samsung, see it 3 months later.
Just go to the Samsung store.
Then I said, well, okay, but don't you have, like, if you don't like a phone, you'll take it back? They said, well, we won't take it back like that, but if you were to remove the pen and put it back in, we'd take it back. But then I couldn't have the phone, and I liked the Note 5. So I walked away hanging my head, and I slowly, gently kind of, and it didn't fight me. It just kind of came out. But in fact, there's a little teeny weeny plastic hook that gets caught. And I broke it. And so, but you know, it doesn't really make that much of a difference.
I saw someone take it out really nicely, if anyone else is doing it, by cutting a sliver of a piece of paper.
I should have done that.
And they just kind of slid it onto, and then they fed it in, and then they pulled it out.
Yeah, you can do that because you can push that lever back before you remove the pen and kind of protect it. I didn't do that. But it's not the end of the world. The only thing you lose is the sensing that the pen's been removed, which has some slight benefits. But the pen still works. You know, you can still press the pen button and all the pen applications pop up and all of that stuff. So it's not the end of the world. And by the way, I gained a little battery life because I then turned off pen detection in settings and my battery life went up by like an hour.
Oh, it's a feature.
So
it's
now they're going to be saying it's a feature, yeah.
Yeah. But what do you think? Is that so there's a lot of debate over this. A lot of people said, well, you're an idiot. You put it in, don't put it in wrong. But I feel like this could easily, you know, you're not looking, you just, that was easy to do.
No, that's.
So is it bad engineering? But, or is it user error?
That's bad design. That's bad design. No, if it's that easy to make the thing malfunction, it's bad design. No question.
Should they recall these? Should they, I'm sure they'll fix it in future editions.
No, they should recall them. It makes no sense. If some of the best people in tech are putting their pens in backwards and having this happen, then what do just the regular people expect to have happen like me? It would happen immediately.
Well, so, Samsung's response was read the manual, except that it doesn't come with a manual. You have to read the manual in a PDF online, which nobody's going to do.
Nobody reads manuals anymore, right? We've been trained not to.
You shouldn't be able to do this, I think. However,
good technology is supposed to protect me from myself. That's good technology. Well,
this did not protect
They should know
me.
That people are going to put the pen in backwards, upside. They'll try to put it in sideways. They should not allow that. All they had to do was just make it a little bit wider in the base. That's it. It wouldn't take that much. Or change the manner in which they had the little tiny sensor latch on the inside.
Compare this to AntennaGate, the iPhone 4 problem. It worse, better?
Same?
Yeah, I agree.
I think this is worse. Because the iPhone 4, you had any phone, if you hold it to block the antenna, it's going to get worse. This one is, I don't know. I also feel like an idiot for having done it. And I believe the people who say, Leo, you're just an idiot. you shouldn't have done that. Yes, yeah, Jay Spin in the chat room says, user error all the way.
there we have it.
I like this phone. I really like this phone. And in fact, it still works exactly as before, and I still use it. And if you don't want to have the pen, you can still get the Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge Plus.
Yeah. Which is an awesome phone.
Which is the same phone with no pen.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you'll accidentally hit that edge of that screen a lot of times and then do weird things. But, you know, it looks fabulous. Yeah. I mean, that thing just looks like a beauty, you know?
I would say the S6 Edge, I would love to get the big one.
Let's talk fabulous a little bit, because because we were talking about the, you know, if you're going to get the 6 or the 6 Plus, and you're saying you're going to go for the 6 Plus, you know, which you're going to have to pay like what, $850 for or something, you know, to get one that doesn't have 16 gigs, which apparently, you know, these base models are going to come out with, which is ridiculous. But you know, the phablet thing is just is so real. You know, I mean, I've never I sort of used to laugh at phablets, and I find myself more and more really wanting one. And
mocked me. I've had every Note since the Note 1. Yeah. And now this phone is not as big as the Note 1. No, it's bigger, right? It's 5.7 inches.
It's bigger.
And nobody laughs at me anymore if I talk like this.
No.
But it looked weird at the time. But now it's like... You know what we discovered? We discovered that we're more productive with a bigger screen. It's easier to read. It's easier to use. And frankly, this is the computer we spend more time on than any other computer in our life. So might as well have one that's easy to use.
Yeah. I mean, that's I agree. I was one of the ones that laughed at you for the phablet. Sorry, Leo. But it's like, you know, the more I've carried an iPhone and an Android phone since 2010, and then, you know, we obviously all of us get lots of testers in, and the more time I've spent testing, you know, some of these phablets, I'm like, boy, it really is nice having that, you know, that big screen. You know, I find myself reading more on it. I find myself, you know, answering emails on it a little more, or longer ones, because with that little bit bigger screen, you can manage the keyboard a little better. And so, yeah, for the first time, I'm sort of thinking for my everyday.
You're going to get the 6 Plus?
I may actually get a phablet. I do think it's an interesting time if we're talking about phones, and then I'll shut up and let the other guests hear what their perspective is on these two. I think it's an interesting time because with contract, you know, Verizon going no contract, you know, T-Mobile essentially same direction. Others are going to follow clearly. You know, all of a sudden the price of these phones is going to be a lot more people are going to be more sensitive to price than they are currently. And I think that actually hurts Apple and Samsung, or will.
Oh, my God. This phone is $850 freaking bucks.
Right? Exactly. Whereas you look at something like the Moto X Pure Edition, another beautiful
400,
phone.
Half as much.
$400. And that is a super powerful phone. Very well received. I expect that it's going to be well received. And I think that if you're a consumer and you're wanting to upgrade your device and you're looking at 400 versus 850 in this device, even if it's 90% as good, or I think the perception of it is going to be that it's, you know, really close. You know, I think there's no doubt people will choose, you know, something like the Moto X Pure Edition or maybe a Huawei phone or whatever over, you know, an $850 iPhone 6 or, you know, Samsung, you know, Note 5.
Well, and as we've mentioned, part of the reason is because they're seeing the actual price. Now that subsidies are starting to go away, you actually will be seeing the actual price you're paying. And I think once you know what you're paying, it's like, you're kidding. That costs more than my desktop computer.
Yes.
$850. Yes. Are you kidding me?
So. Leo, that's not the question I want to know, though. If rumor has it that they're going to go with the rose gold.
Ooh, yes.
Are you going to go rose gold?
You know why? First of all, I'll go with whatever I can get because rose gold will definitely be out of stock within 5 seconds of midnight on Friday the 11th.
Just for the novelty factor and looking unique, right?
No, because think about it. If you buy a new iPhone, high priority is that people know you have the new iPhone. And the only way they would know that is if you have the rose gold one. Everything else looks just like the old ones.
Right.
It's like the white. Remember when the white came out?
Right.
Everybody got the white because it was like it showed.
Apple's finally learned this because I think in the early days they thought, oh, well, nobody will buy whatever the weird color was. Now they know that's the one. That's the one you make the most of. And I'm sure that they're
You get the prestige factor. You know, you're buying it and it's nice to have other people say, oh, my goodness.
Right.
Do you have
the new one?
Whatever it might be.
Did you get your phone painted pink?
It'll be
it's a beautiful color. The rose gold is not pink. It's like a bronzish. It's not an overly
You haven't even
color.
Seen it. You haven't even seen it. You're projecting.
You know what the color is.
As they say, which is like the watch, it's a beautiful color.
Yeah.
But it's not the watch because the watch is actually rose gold. This will be aluminum.
It will be rose gold.
Can it make rose gold fashionable again? There's an editor on my staff, Tina Hammond, who used to actually be a fashion editor, and she's like, rose gold is so out.
It's
like rose
so
gold's
out.
Been out for like 10 years.
Oh,
you know? And I was like, really? I was like, I had no
what's
idea.
In? She said, did you ask her what's in? Because I'd like to know.
What's in? This is a good question. But she said rose gold was a thing, I guess, that was like, you know, 10, 20 years ago was really a thing. But
is that true,
like,
Georgia?
Fashion accessories.
You're fashion forward. Is that true,
I don't
Georgia?
Know if I'm that fashion forward. Yeah, I'm not that into rose gold. I never was, though I would get the phone in rose gold.
Well, you know that Christina Warren finally got her pink leather.
Yes.
You guys are nuts. You Apple phone people are nuts.
An
Apple Watch people.
Any worse than any other techie.
You guys is nuts.
Not.
Special
yeah, it's
bands.
The bad ones.
How many bands does Rene Ritchie have now?
Okay, well, that's true. That's true. I think that he has 8 bands, what? Perhaps.
Jeez.
I think he has 8 bands.
What's the DSM-7 diagnostic for somebody who has too many watch bands?
I would call him passionate.
Passionate. That's it.
But
so
no, it's nice to have fun. Technology can be a lot of fun and enjoyable. And when you find something that matches you, when I found my little watch band from like Etsy, I was so excited. And it was fun and affordable. So why not?
Yeah.
Mention iMore, get 20% off with that.
That's true. Etsy Pioneer 1956.
Oh, stop it.
iMore 20.
Actually, you should do it because I know people will want it.
It's actually a pretty nice band. I mean, I just have the white one, right?
Do you have the white one? The white one gets too dirty.
I have the transparent one. It's really, it's so beautiful. You don't even, I stopped wearing my Apple Watch.
Did you?
It's dopey.
So here's the problem. You know, people expect – I actually tweeted this last week finally because I've had a lot of conversations about the Apple Watch, obviously. And I was, you know, I was pretty much a skeptic going into it, although I've worn fitness bands since they started – I've worn a Fitbit since they started coming out. But the problem with the Apple Watch is mostly expectations, and Apple some of this is Apple is to blame for. People expect it to be an iPhone on your wrist when it's actually just a smarter version of a Fitbit. You know, if you're expecting an iPhone on your wrist, you're going to be disappointed. And even Apple, I think, with some of the things they tried to do in apps, you know, overreached a little and was a little too ambitious. And this device does not have enough power, and the UI is not well thought through enough to work, you know, with some of the ways that they'd like to do apps. That could get better in the version of the software that's about to be released.
2.0. Will 2.0 come out next week?
2.0.
Is that going to be part of the 9th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not throwing my watch away. In fact, I've ordered hearing aids because I am, if you hadn't noticed, an older person. And the hearing aids that I bought work with an iPhone.
Wow.
So not an Android. They work
models that do that.
Yeah. It's the Starkey Halos. They have an Android app, but it's not as good.
Now, how do they work with the iPhone?
A couple of things. You can play anything that's on your iPhone. You can play back goes through the hearing aid. So it's like they're like Bluetooth headsets.
It's like a Bluetooth. Nice.
I don't know how good the sound fidelity is. I asked. The guy said, oh, it sounds great, but I don't, you know, we'll see.
I tried them at CES. I actually tried some of those at CES.
Yeah, how do they sound?
I thought they were pretty good. I thought they were pretty amazing. You know, the cool thing is they also work to, you know, they're trying to integrate these with TVs too.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, an elderly person with the hearing aid, it used to be everybody would sit in the room, right? They'd have to turn it up real loud for
that
person.
Which Matlock on?
They wouldn't ask, right? They
can't hear it. Turn up Matlock.
Only hear half of it. Well, now they can actually hear it in many ways better and more clearly, yes. You know, at a higher fidelity
yes.
than even the people in the room
yes.
because their hearing aid can.
I will hear better than you all. Damn you. The other thing it does is it has 20, it geolocates, so it has 25 different presets for different locations. So you can change the EQ for background noise, whatever. Mm. It does a weird thing, which is the ad copy is not politically correct. It says, for children and women with high voices, we'll automatically lower the pitch into your hearing range so you can understand children and women better.
That's horrible.
I can't hear you. What? What?
I'll speak
to you. Would you speak
now.
In my.
So
I can't
it
hear
a little easier
from
for
now
you
on, all women
understand.
Are going to sound like this. Daddy, my children.
I thought you were going to say that for women and children, it just turns them off. So you don't have to listen.
That's probably a feature as well. But I may end up, for this reason, I may, and it has an Apple Watch interface. So you can on your watch say, put in preset number 4. I'm watching Matlock. And so I think that's going to be kind of cool. iPhone and Apple Watch. I may end up wearing the thing again. To me, that's the Apple Watch. Is it appeals to people who have a specific use that it works for. You know, if you have a specific need.
It's good at two things. Like, I've written about this. I did a video about it and all of that. It's good at two things, which are alerts. You know, the alerts are good. The alerts, and because of the app ecosystem on the iPhone and the watch itself, it gives you a diversity of alerts. You know, it helps you from keeps you from missing calls, it keeps you from missing text messages.
I don't like that. It's too annoying. It's constantly beeping and booping on my wrist. I don't want it.
You do have to tune it a little, but for me, I take out my phone a lot less. You know,
sound so freaking lazy. All these people say, "Oh, I don't have to take my phone out of my pocket." How much trouble is it if you wish to look at your phone?
Have you seen my purse?
It's a lot
of trouble.
I keep my phone right here next to my heart.
Find where my phone is in my purse. Take it out. By then, the call's already left. It's gone to voicemail. That means I have to go through all my voicemails to hear what happened. I get to check it out on my wrist. I can say, I can curate. Do I want to answer the phone right now? Is this important? Is it not? And then I can decide if I want to search through my purse because it's important enough and I need to deal with this call or not. So it saves me time.
Yeah, no. I like that more than I thought I would. Yeah. Although I kind of liked it on Fitbit when Fitbit had started to do some of this too, and I liked it on that. This is just a little bit more sophisticated version. And same thing with the fitness tracker. It's just a little bit more sophisticated version of the fitness tracker. And the back end, you know, Apple's health kit is better, right? It pulls all that health data from your tracker into health kit, and then health kit can feed it back to apps like Lose It and other things. So then, you know, you can get a larger picture of your health.
If you drunk the Kool-Aid, boy, oh boy, boy, oh boy. Wow. How neat is that? By the way, my hearing aids will do that too, you know.
Yeah.
So Apple.
Those are the only two things, though. That it's really good for. That's what I say in my piece, right? Is like if you want to use it for those two things, you're in business. If you want it to do other stuff, you know, it's just not there yet.
That's kind of my attitude. There are a few specific use cases that make a lot of sense. Fitness is one of them. Although I don't think it does anything more than. In fact, it's not even the best selling fitness band. This is what gets me. And Apple's going to say, "Hey, we're number two." Fitbit outsells them, according to IDC. Now, IDC is making these numbers up, understand. Nobody knows what the actual numbers are. So I don't know how accurate these are. But according to IDC, in the second quarter of 2015, 4.4 million Fitbits, 3.6 million Apple Watches, a Xiaomi fitness band, 3.1 million, Garmin 0.7, Samsung 0.6, and others wins all, 5.7 million. So Apple only has, according to this, 3.6 out of the 18.1 million wearables sold. It's a small fraction.
Oh, yeah. It's a small market. I mean, this is
But it's not just a small market. They have a small fraction of the small market. This is not some breakaway hit.
And, by the way,
it's not my job to decide whether a watch or a product of any kind is a success based on sales. I don't do that. This is not a business show. We're not judging Apple's business acumen. I judge it on whether it's a success in terms of being a product that I and others might want to use. And I think it's of limited utility. It's a little bit of a disappointment.
That's fair. I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, I wear mine every day, and you know, someone on the subway or you know at a bar or a restaurant asks me what I think of it, and should they get one? And my answer is almost always no. Do not get one. You have to know what it is. And I think, you know, kind of like we were saying earlier, it's best used as just that, a watch. I use it to check the time and notifications.
Sad.
And that is it. Oh, and fitness tracking too.
Steve, that's like the worst. That's like what I think that the watch does worse is the time.
Watch. It's a terrible watch. It turns itself off.
That's where it fails. It's a watch that doesn't even work most of the time.
It's a bad watch
because it doesn't actually tell me the time. I have to tap it or flick in order to see the time, which is relatively obvious.
At least Android Wear stays on.
Yes, that's what I would love. That's what I would love is to have it just a low, you know, battery mode where it's on all the time.
I'm not really as negative on the watch as I sound. I know I sound like I'm very negative on it. But I mostly want to give an opposing point of view that it isn't all that. And I think a lot of people are like, this is, you know, this Jesus watch. And it isn't, it's still, wearables, I think, are very, very difficult. Something that small, it's difficult to come up with a user interface that's actually useful. And so I think wearables in general, the Fitbit does very well for a lot less money at the kinds of things that people who want fitness watches. A Timex would do very well at telling time. The notifications is the one thing, and I feel like I don't really want those notifications coming in all the time. I find that a little bit annoying, but there are some use cases. Walking around London, it was great to have a smart watch say, turn left now, turn right now, without having to stare at the map the whole time. But I just feel like these are limited use cases. Mostly I'm saying they haven't yet figured out how to make wearables really useful.
And I don't think that they will either. I don't think that there's a whole lot more that this thing's going to do. I think ultimately expectations were a little too high, and Apple didn't necessarily help with that. But it is good at those two things, and I think it'll only get better, which are the notifications. I don't like taking my phone out of my pocket all the time. So to me, that's it's super useful to me. And like I said, I like notifications on Fitbit as well before, you know, this came out and did it a little better. I used a Fitbit for a long time for fitness. And like I said, Fitbit does it well. And still most of the other people in my family and friends still use Fitbit. You know, I've passed on my Fitbit to other people. And so I think that it does those things a little bit better. It is not, you know, it's not a breakthrough product. It is still 1.0, but it does do some things better. And on that score, it does well. It's not going to sell. I mean, I think we talked earlier in the year, people were talking about it's going to sell 20 to 30 million units this year. And I said, that's insane. It will not sell more than 5 to 10. And that's about what the trajectory, I think, that they're on. So, you know, it does those two things well. If you want those, you know, great. It does need to do like Georgia was saying, it needs to stay on all the time. So you can look at your watch. You know, I think the next version will probably have an OLED display, which is low power enough or has a low power enough a mode that, you know.
No, this is an OLED display. Apple's using an OLED display.
I guess it's not OLED enough, you know.
It needs more OLED. It needs to be more OLED. I think Apple did a lot of great things with a watch. Yeah. I mean, they're good at design. I still don't think it's pretty. I think it's only mildly useful. And I guess what I'm saying is the same thing as you say, Steve, when you see people in the subway, which is unless you know you have a use for this and you know you want it, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't recommended any single person to actually go out and buy one, like a real person that's not in tech. You know?
My hearing aid will tell me what time it is. Actually, a blind guy told me that he loves his Apple Watch because it talks to him and tells him it's a talking watch, which I didn't know, but it has the capability of speaking the time. And he said, you know, that for that alone, this thing is great.
Huh.
So that's a great use. I mean, for, you know, accessibility device, it's great.
It has all the accessibility settings built into it, just like the Mac and the iPhone and the iPad. It can do, anybody can use it. It's really interesting they were able to cram that in there.
All right, I'm going to coin a new word, Blockapalooza.
Ooh.
Mmm. And it's about to happen next week. Blockapalooza will happen September 9th. I'll explain what this is all about and why it is absolutely a massive sea change in what's happening on the internet. Is that a good tease?
Yeah.
Blockapalooza.
After the break.
After the break. But first, thank you, Georgia Dow. But it reminds me, are you part of that incomparable team?
I do a couple of shows with Jason, but I don't know if I don't know how, what that means. I don't
he's
know.
Asked
I don't
me have to record. He's asked me to record. Well, I want to be a part of that special handshake.
Okay.
The hat, whatever. He's asked me to record a bit for the next Incomparable Theater.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm going to be. Guess what? I'll be the announcer. You know,
you're not typecast at all.
I could be the creepy uncle. Give me a chance. Our show today. See, I just get myself into these things, don't I, George?
You do. Yeah. Step in it.
It's my own fault. Our show today brought to you by Citrix Go-To Meeting, a great way to meet with clients, colleagues, coworkers from the convenience of your smartphone, from your tablet, from your. They don't have it from your watch yet, but you know what? Don't put it past them. These guys could easily do that. Go to meeting. It's the best way to meet. When we have a meeting, we don't have a conference call. We have a go to meeting. Now, you get all the conference call features, and you can use that, by the way, which is really cool. If you like have an iPad, you can use the speakers and the microphone on the iPad as the conference call, or you can use your regular phone. The nice thing about doing it with go to meeting is that if you need to share a screen, if you want to show your client your PowerPoint presentation, your keynote presentation, you can do it. And even better, you got a camera on that device, on that iPad or that computer. Just turn it on. Now you're seeing them in HD quality. It's practically like a face-to-face meeting. You can share screens to present. You can get feedback in real time, and you see each other. I love GoToMeeting. This is truly empowering technology, and I think it deserves the attention. It's kind of taking the back seat. We're all kind of used to this now. But if you're not using it, do it right now. You can sign up, and it literally just takes a minute. You got 30 days free. There's no credit card needed. Just go to meeting.com, click the try it free button, and it's so fast to set up, you'll be ready to have your first meeting before I'm through with this commercial. Go to meeting.com. Try it free. 30 days await you. Go to meeting from Citrix. You're watching TWIT this week in tech. Georgia Dow is here from imore.com. Jason Heiner from CBS Interactive. From, I want to say Business Insider, but I'm going to have to say the new one
Tech
from
Insider.
TechInsider.io, Steve Kovac. That's exciting. What is your job there?
I am now a deputy editor, so
it's
going to be crazy, but I oversee the tech section of Tech Insider. There are four sections. Yeah.
Have fun.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Yeah. Good stuff. Can we say one more thing about smartwatches?
Okay. Go ahead.
Because Google, the next wave of Google Wear is about to happen. Android Wear devices is about to happen.
Is it?
Huawei is about to release their watch, which looks really sharp. By the way, they were just showing it off to tech journalists not last week, but the week before in SF in San Francisco. That one looks sharp. Also, the next Samsung. Gear is about to be released
Is that Android Wear or is that Samsung's Tizen?
Tizen.
Yes, that one is Tizen and not Android Wear. Good point. But they're going in the same direction. It's similar.
You know, this Huawei has an Apple Watch kind of feel to it, doesn't it?
Oh, it looks really sharp.
Yeah,
really sharp.
It's got Milanese
amazing
loop. The Samsung Gear?
Yeah, the Gear S2 looks incredible from everything they've been posting pictures of it and Instagrams already, and it looks really, really good. Jason, you're saying it's going to work on iOS?
So that's what that's what's been reported, is that it will work in iOS. You know, I should say rumored, you know.
They have it on their product page on Amazon. It says supports iOS and Android Wear. No one knows whether that's limited, true
right?
or not.
It's always going to be limited because Apple doesn't really let you be a peer to, say, the Apple Watch. Is this the gear that you're talking about? Is this it?
No, this is the old one.
I had this one. This thing was horrible. This was a nightmare.
The fit, that thing sucked.
It's the Gear S2.
That sucked, man. That thing sucked.
Yeah, the S2 is super sharp. You know,
there it is. There's our story about it. Boom.
Yeah. No, tech and suck. All right. Here it is. Coming soon. Berlin, Thursday. Oh, this week?
Yeah. IFA, right?
IFA.
Yep.
Is IFA, you know, with Samsung making announcements outside of IFA, Motorola, Microsoft, it feels like IFA is suddenly got less important, not more important.
I don't know. It's kind of like the CES of sort of like CES Lite of Europe, you know?
So this is Gear 2.
But everybody's moving away from these big trade shows anyway. But the Gear 2 looks great. I mean, both of these look better than
An Apple Watch?
We're comparing it.
Oh, okay. That was confusing for a moment because I thought, wow, Samsung's really ripping off Apple.
They're really copying now.
So it's round.
That top right image, if you go to the very top of the page, even more there, that's someone actually wearing it.
See, I like round.
Yeah.
I think I was really surprised a little bit that Apple did not go round.
Yeah. I think the ecosystem is moving toward round. It's harder to do it, you know, from a developer perspective, right? Round is harder to a degree than square because so many of these apps and the existing ecosystem of all the things that are there are built for Square, right? So so round is a little harder, but round does look nicer. When I was testing the Apple Watch, I was testing the Moto 360 at the same time, and I liked the look of the 360. I just wish it was about a third smaller. It was just kind of huge.
Yeah.
But I also got the smaller Apple Watch to test as well, the 38 millimeter, and I find that it's fine. But these round ones look really, really sharp. I think the Huawei one, same thing, looks fantastic.
So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this category has some life in it, and it's just we haven't seen the best yet.
I think that it's going to be the wave of the future. I think that people are going to want to have technology with them that they don't have to actually take out of a pocket or a purse. It's going to be something that's seamless and becomes part. Similar to what you were saying with, you know, the hearing aids, it's something that makes it really easy because it's already a part of you, so you don't have to find it. It's there to give you information as you need and to help you be like that digital assistant throughout your day. Right.
I think the trend is toward, to get what George is saying, is the trend is toward, you know, technology becoming more invisible, right? Becoming, you know, integrating more
but if
seamlessly
you do that,
into everyday life.
Each piece has to work with the other piece. And UI is the problem. And this is the problem I see with watches. They're so small. Look at what Apple's done with the stem and the button and the force touch. There's too much UI there. It's very hard to navigate. Those icons are tiny. I feel like if you're going to do that, then what you do is you take the computer and you break it out, but it all has to come back into a central hub, which is what the computer was for a long time in the home. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a smartphone is actually perfect. It's the perfect form factor. We've solved the problems on this. And it's not so far away. It's on your body. It's on your person. And this can have a acceptable UI, whereas a watch or a hearing aid or something stitched into your fabric can't.
Yeah, but if I'm taking a walk or I'm hiking or I'm at the gym or I'm doing anything
active. You
guys
are too active. That's part of the problem.
I don't want
to sit down.
I don't want to pull my phone out all
the time. No, no, you guys, relax. You're doing too much crap outside of the house.
The problem with the phone is that it uses up either 100% or 50% of your usable limbs. And so you're having to hold it. So I have one phone that is being my one hand that I cannot use for something else. And then if I'm going to interact with it, now I'm using both. And so I can't do something else at the same time.
Don't do something else at the same time. Stop it. You're doing too much.
But we that is our.
What do you mean?
It uses. We want to do more for less.
50% of my usable limbs. So what? What are you doing with the other ones? Are you an acrobat?
you could be, you know, trying to catch one of your children that are running around.
Okay.
You might be driving at the same time. You don't use any technology while you're driving. But, you know, you might be wanting to read the newspaper or being able to travel somewhere. Or something might have fallen down you have to choose between, do I drop my phone or do I, you know, drop the donuts? Don't pick the donuts. I did that once and I broke my phone.
Really?
It's a true story.
Okay.
It's absolutely true.
So
I was so angry.
Take the donuts, leave the phone. My advice to you.
Yeah.
What about voice? Will that solve this? Because that is a UI that's getting better. We just talked about it. If I could talk to my stuff. The problem is you then look like a crazy person.
Yeah, you can only do that in certain contexts, right? You can't do that in every context.
I bought a second Alexa. I'm sorry, Echo. I shouldn't say the A word.
Yeah.
I bought a second Echo because I like being able to talk to my house. And it's interesting. It's not my house. It's a tube. But it feels like you're talking to your house. And I think that what's cool about that is probably Siri and Google Now can do more than Amazon, but it feels like it's kind of always there and you don't have to take anything out. I'm lying in bed and I can say, what time is it? I can say, read me my book, put me to bed, get me a hot cocoa. No, I can't do that last stuff, but that's not too far off. Maybe voice is the way, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a big part of the future, but it has limited context because you can't, you know, be walking through downtown San Francisco.
But remember how crazy we thought people were when they talked in their Bluetooth headsets, walking down the street animatedly talking away. We thought they were nuts. Now we're used to it.
Still think they're nuts.
Do you?
I don't know. I still think they're nuts. I still think it's not completely acceptable.
Douchebag, and move on.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm just noticing a tech, techinsider.io. You're talking about the Tesla. First car ever to get 103 points from Consumer Reports. More than a perfect score.
It broke the system. It
broke their system.
Broke the system. That's great.
Wow.
I watched that. That was amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
That is a safe car.
Safe car. Still not getting one. I don't want to go out anymore. I want to stay home with my Amazon and my Echo and just talk and relax and have
you're not even on board with Apple Watch. There's no way you're getting a Tesla.
You kids and your electronics. If you missed any of the fine programming that we had this week on Twitter, you might have missed something really entertaining. Take a look.
Previously on Twitter.
You can jam this stylus back in. And you can. It goes in very... This is backwards.
Yeah. Samsung issued a statement now, which is amazing.
What did they say?
People they should read the manual.
Oh, I just did it. Oh, crap.
Leo.
And that's their official stance is RTFM?
iOS Today.
Just came back from a long trip. I did use the translation apps, and they were great. I'm wondering where I can find the art museum.
This Week in Google.
I wonder if we just
don't,
drop
no,
it.
No, Ron.
Drop it.
Do it, Ron.
Like straight up gravity. I wonder if it will get stuck.
See? You see how easy that went in?
Tech News Tonight.
I feel like all these notifications are making me much more productive. What do you think?
So notifications are very much the same as multitask. If you multitask, you commit about twice as many errors as you would if you were focusing on a single task. And it takes you 25% longer to complete all of those tasks.
This is your brain. This is your brain on Twit. Any questions?
Megan, but I can search the web if you like.
Thank you. And so polite.
It is. It is helpful. And I like it that you have a male Siri.
I do.
Do you call him sir?
No, he calls me ma'am. That's why I have the
We're just beginning. What's coming up this week? Mike Elgin has the latest.
Coming up this week, Tuesday, September 1st, is the beginning of the end for Flash on the Internet. On that day, Google will disable Flash ads by default, and Amazon will stop accepting all Flash ads on its main site, Amazon.com. Then on Thursday, September 3rd, Motorola will ship its Moto X Pure Edition, known as the Moto X Style outside the U.S. The Samsung Galaxy Tab S2 tablet ships Thursday as well. And IFA, the giant consumer electronics and home appliance show, officially starts in Berlin on Friday, September 4th. But a few companies are jumping the gun. For example, both Sony and Asus will hold IFA-related events on Wednesday, and we'll cover the Sony event live at 7 a.m. Pacific. For all this and the rest of the news this week, tune in to Tech News Today at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1700 UTC at twit.tv/live. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Mike Elgin, our news director. And I imagine Mike will be here next Wednesday. I'm going to be out of town. We're having a meetup in New York City on Wednesday, September 9th. So I'm going to miss the Apple event. First time ever, I think, since 2001. I've missed an Apple event. But if you are in the Big Apple or near the Big Apple, come by Rattle and Hum, Mary Jo Foley's favorite bar, from 3 to 5. Yeah. Yeah, you know it? Have you been there?
Oh, yeah, Rattle and Hum. That's her spot.
Come by. Come by. Anybody's in New York, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific, not Pacific, Eastern, will be there. And so will Dick DiBartolo. Mary Jo Foley will be there. And Paul Thurrott from our Windows Weekly show. I think others as well. I'll be there. Lisa, my wife, and our CEO will be there, and we'll be glad to talk. And it's going to be a lot of fun to have beer. And then I think Apple's going to make us order at midnight Pacific on Friday, right? If we want to get an iPhone.
Most likely, if they follow their pattern. Yeah.
So that means 3 a.m. New York time. What do you East Coasters do? Do you just get up at 3 in the morning?
You set your alarm.
Oh, God.
And then the alarm goes off, and then you order all your Apple products, and you go back to bed.
Last year, and the alarm went off, and I went back to sleep for 10 minutes. That's all. And then I got online. There was nothing.
Was that for the watch?
No. Was it the watch? Yeah, it was the watch.
I think we talked about that one of the times I was on the show.
I fell asleep. I fell back asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get up for 3 because I thought it's that watch. Like, it's not going to sell out.
Oh, boy.
And then I got up in the morning and I was like, oh, crap.
Oh, it did. It sold out. So, I need a phone because, as you know, I gave
almost got phone. My almost got my tech journalist. I think I might have got my tech journalist card nearly taken away for that. But, you know, there you go.
Pressure. People don't understand what pressure we're under.
You know? It's true.
Rough job.
Exactly right.
It's a tough job.
Exactly
it's a rough
right.
job getting all of That's these cool tech things and getting to talk about it online.
Tough job.
It's rough. Hard.
Yeah. All right. I'm calling it Blockapalooza. I don't think this will catch on, but I'm calling it that. And you guys know better than anybody because you work for web-based publications. We've talked about this before. Content blocking, ad blocking is going through the roof. Ad Age said billions of dollars lost. I don't know if that's a hyperbole or if it's accurate, but I think it's really going to start snowballing. And September 9th might be D-Day for online, not just online advertising, but online analytics of all kinds, because iOS 9 will ship, we presume, and Apple is going to allow, they've announced, content blockers in Safari.
Yeah.
That means that many of the people who visit your site will not only not see your ads, you won't even see them. You won't be able to count them. Is that something that worries CBS Interactive or Business Insider? It worries me, and I don't even have... I don't even make money that way. I feel like...
I mean, of course it worries me. And I mean, obviously my livelihood is tied to people visiting the site and viewing ads. And, you know, I see it from a product standpoint. Yes, they can slow down some sites. By the way, Business Insider is very fast. There's a study done comparing us to other sites and we load much faster than a lot of the competition. But anyway, you know, it's almost like stealing. You know, I need to eat too. I'm providing you a service. I'm giving you great content. And if a little ad next to the content you're viewing bothers you, then pay us.
There's
you know
an
what
ethical,
I mean?
And, I agree. There's an ethical concern, but let me ask you this, Steve, do you TiVo TV shows?
No, I don't. I'm a cord cutter. So
you're a cord
no.
cutter. Okay.
But I pay for everything that I pay.
All right.
I have Netflix.
So you're ethical.
And, you know, I'm totally ethical.
There are shows. Network television shows that I watch. That I skip the commercials. That's why I DVR them. Is that I'm doing the same thing, aren't I?
No, because they don't know that you're skipping the commercials.
Oh, good. I'm off the
hook.
So
you're fine.
But ethically, morally, it is the same thing, which is, you know, you're consuming free content, ad-supported content, but you're not supporting it. You're trying to get your site. Is stealing too harsh a word? That's what Steve...
No.
It's not.
What else is it?
Part of the social contract. It's part of the social contract.
If you walked in a store and took a candy bar and left without paying for it, that would be stealing. If you go to a website, read the content without seeing the ads, is that the same?
I think that there's a little bit of a difference in between this is that, so, you know, our mind works that things that are stagnant and stay in one place, eventually we start to block out. We don't actually see them. We don't even, like, it doesn't even register in our mind because it's static, and most static things were not anything dangerous, so nothing that we actually need to pay attention to. Most static things didn't kill us.
That's right.
And so then after a while that they figured out that people aren't actually reading the advertising on the side, we actually block them out from our mind as if they don't exist. And so then they started changing them by making them really vivid colors. So you can think about, like, animals that have vivid colors, they're a little more dangerous, so you should pay attention to them. But after a while in time, people noticed, you know what, we're not looking, they're not looking at those ads either or increasing their clicking. So then they started making the movement. Our eyes are naturally made to take a look at movement because movement was dangerous to us. And then the ads became more and more obnoxious. And so I think that it was that they took advantage of the goodwill of wanting to go to sites, and now they've made these ads that are incensed. They chase you around the screen sometimes. They blink. Yeah. They turn on audio without your choice. And I think that they kind of broke the social contact in that contract, and that's why this is happening. And I also, my site also needs people to come in, and, you know, it's there's advertising on that. And I, so I understand the other side of it as people saying, you know what, it's gotten to be too much. And that increases our levels of stress, right? These ads are actually emotionally damaging to us. They cause us stress because things that chase us, things that we don't want to deal with.
Damaging.
It actually, an ad, it emotionally psychologically,
I, belly, does. That it's belly fat ad, that breaks my heart every time I see that ad.
No, but it increases our stress level. It's not damaging. Something that we're you know, going to have
it
to.
It tears a little bit out of us each time. It's
well, it
death
makes us
by
not
a thousand cuts.
Inhibitory to us. And so sites that run those type of ads, I won't go back to a site, and I will even email and let them know, because often, you know, some other ad company has placed these ads there. So a lot of websites, you don't know which advertising is happening on your site.
Isn't that, though, the right way to deal with it? The ethical way to deal with it is just not go there again. Like,
yes.
My God, you've invaded. You've torn a little of my soul out. I'm never coming back. But, you know, on the other hand, if you're in a quest for news or information, it's hard to remember which sites you're not allowed to visit anymore.
But I think that that's why, though, that this has happened, is that people are so annoyed with so many ads that are, you know, everywhere, causing load times to be so slow, that now people have taken to the other side and said, well, then no more. I'm done now. And the problem is that that's going to make it, we're going to be changing the entire way that we monetize web-based performances, because people aren't going to be making money that way anymore.
Well, that's, so what, I think that's gonna, why I call this block apocalypse.
Yes. Because no one's going to turn them back on after you've turned off ads.
Right. Right. As soon as you use an ad blocker once, you never go back. I hate to tell
you. If you're enjoying the content you're reading, if you want that to go away one day, then block all the ads, because that will immediately vaporize so much great content out there. The iMores, the Business Insiders, the CNets, all those sites, the Verges, the Gizmodos.
I hear both sides. I hear both sides, though. I also understand why people, load times are tripled in some cases, not on Business Insider, but on some sites. Malware is injected via Flash and other means on some sites. We've seen this happen and over and over again. The ads tear a little bit of your soul away each time. So I understand why people block. I really do. And I also think it's important for people to understand that that's how sites like Business Insider and iMore and Tech Republic, that's how these are free to you. Mm-hmm. They pay for the staff. They pay for the servers. They pay for the bandwidth with these ads.
Yeah. I mean, but this is a game that is changing, and is changing drastically. You know, for us, you know, we see the writing on the wall that, you know, advertising is a race to the bottom, right? Like infinite supply now, right? There's so many sites writing about tech. There's so many sites, you know, writing about business that they will do it and give people ads cheaper than what we do, because our game is to play a quality game. And so, you know, more and more, you know, we're looking to other ways to monetize. And we see that absolutely that's going to, you know, that's the future. And when, you know, there's lots of conversations that we have all the time about, you know, how to make our pages load faster, how to not annoy people with ads. You know, there's lots of talk when sort of new kinds of ad units get put on and on the pages, and then it's like, okay, then take some off, right? Because then that will enable the page to load faster. That will not infringe on the user's time and their attention as much. And those are the conversations you should be having when you're, you know, in the business that we're all in. You know, and that's where if you don't and you overstep, that's when more people will use ad blockers, because they'll feel like, you know, you sort of broke that that unwritten rule of, well, I come here and I agree that I'm getting free content, and so I have to I have to see some ads or I have to do whatever. But if you abuse that, that's kind of what George is getting at. If you abuse that, then the users take it upon themselves and say, you know what, you know, I still want to come here, but I'm not going to keep doing this. This is out of hand. And so that's where, as brands, like we have to find ways to balance that. It's like, you know, you, Leo, you limit the number of ads that run on your show to a certain number, and you won't take more than that, even if there's greater demand. Even if you could make more money by running 6 ads or 7 ads on your show, you know, you limit it to like 3 or 4. And so that's sort of the tenuous balance of this thing. But I do think that all of us are faced with a future where we're going to have to think of other ways to monetize our sites, because in a world of infinite supply, where more and more people are doing tech, now mainstream media is trying to do a tech, often very badly, but they will catch up and they'll hire, you know, more people. That takes the value of all these ads down. And so we start putting more on the pages, and that's when ad blocking help. You know, that's where the vicious cycle comes, and that's what we're in.
What is Apple's responsibility? I mean, they're turning this on, and they're already 3 or 4 companies have announced they're going to do ad blockers for iOS. Why is Apple doing this? Is this just because, hey, we care about users?
No, they're just trying to push people to apps.
It's not. I bet you anything, it's not going to block iAds.
They're trying to push everybody to apps, right? They want all of us to not, you know, encourage people to just use our mobile websites, because in our apps, then we can serve ads, right? So they want us to create apps and get them more engaged in the app ecosystem and make really good apps on iOS and use those and not just use the mobile web. Because when it comes to the mobile web, who wins? Google wins. When it comes to apps, who wins? Apple wins, because they take a cut of any revenue you have, because they, you're trying to make really good apps for one platform or the other, sometimes both. But if, you know, most people are developing for Apple first, they win when it's apps, they lose when it's the web. And so they're pushing this. That's what this whole thing is about. And I don't think they should be doing it. And it pisses me off that they are doing it, but that's what their game is.
I worry the other side effect of this is that when the less people look at ads, the more outrageous, obnoxious ads have to be. And then ads go underground with native content, ads that opposes editorial but are in fact paid advertisement. You're seeing a lot of sites do that. Product placement. Watch American Idol. They have big Coke cups in front of them. That's because people are skipping the ads in between. Well, I don't think that's so bad. In fact, we keep trying to do product placement deals, but nobody will give me free pizza. So I don't know why.
Cheesecake or
pizza break.
Actually, we're talking about selling naming rights for the studio, which I think would be a nice, unobtrusive way to do an ad. But, you know, we have to be very careful because we have a sophisticated audience that's very privacy concerned, that's very savvy. Yes. I would assume that most of our users use ad blockers. So it doesn't cost us much because we only have 2 banner ads, only one of which we charge for on our website. It does hurt us because we don't get analytics on the website, but yeah, that's not the end of the world.
That's not your distribution, though. So
most of our money, 99.9%, comes from ads in the podcasts. And those have always been skippable. I mean, a podcast, you just fast forward. We TiVo it for you. So those
the nice thing is that they have you, you know, saying something, and people are already attached to you, and so it's something that's not intrusive. It's something that's not exceptionally long, and there's not like lights blinking out, and so it's something that's comforting from someone that they've chosen to watch. And so I think that that's people feel comfortable to deal with that as their contract of, well, this is the advertising. And I think that it increases the sellability of a product. It's not just some square on, you know, a page. It's
no, in fact, if I were purely selfish, I would promote ad blocking because the worse ads work on Tech Republic and Business Insider and iMore, the more my ads are valuable. But I do.
Yeah,
but
you're filtering it. Your audience also trusts you that you're filtering it.
We do. I turn down advertisers almost every day. I say no to somebody. And by the way, that hurts people's. Nobody ever. It's so funny because it's culture shock. Wait a minute. You don't want my money? No. Nobody's ever heard of turning down an ad. That never happens. And then people are hurt. Are you saying that my product sucks? I'm saying no. I just don't think our audience is interested, or we can't. A lot of times it's because we can't help you. I don't think we're going to sell it. That product will sell very well to our audience, so I don't want to take your money. I try to be ethical. Maybe that's my –
it's also innovative though, right, Leo? Because that's what creates the trust with your audience is you are filtering essentially people who want to make a pitch to them.
Yes.
And they trust you to do that because – you know, the stuff that has pitched, many of them have turned out well, right? I can think of at least three products that I learned about first on Twit that I've ended up using, like Squarespace.
You know, it's so funny because Squarespace, I just was reading Lance Ulanoff's piece in Mashable about the quote renaissance of podcasting. And he says Squarespace buys, I think they said 100 or 200 different podcasts, but we were the first one they bought. We're with how they got into podcasting.
You can't listen to a podcast without a Squarespace.
There's always a Squarespace. I think that hurts us a little bit.
Totally.
But anyway, whether ad blockers are good or bad, and by the way, we're going to spend a whole show on Security Now talking about a particular ad blocker called uBlock Origin that seems to be the ad blocker of choice these days from a security perspective as well as a privacy perspective as well as just pure convenience. I don't want to promote ad blockers because I want your sites to persist. I don't want content good free content to disappear. I don't want paywalls everywhere I go. I really hate it when I'm trying to read a Financial Times article and it says, sorry, you can't because you don't pay for Financial Times.
Now, I wonder if the people like in the chat and so forth are complaining about ads. I mean, would they just start paying if they love iMore, if they love CNET?
What about this Google contributor? Is that viable? Google has this contributor thing. You pay Google, then they replace Google ads in the sites you visit, and that some of that money goes to the website. Have you guys been approached by contributors?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, that's one way to kind of – because what you don't want to do – I don't think anybody wants 500 little bills. Micropayments, is that the solution?
Micropayments will be part of it. You know, a freemium essentially is part of it, right? There's going to be there are layers of things you get for free, and then to get greater value, that's where micropayments come in, right? So
here's an interesting thing from Becky, who's a regular in our chat room and a devoted fan, and she says something that I think is very interesting. She's talking to you, Steve. She said,
I saw it. Yeah.
It's not free content. I pay for my internet access.
That's not what that is. Yes. The internet, I hate that argument because that is, the internet it's a pipe to this content. Yeah, that's
means like saying Netflix, I pay for a cable subscription, so I shouldn't have to pay for HBO.
Exactly. Or like Netflix should be free because that's delivered over the internet, or Hulu or anything you buy on iTunes. All that should be free because you're paying $50 a month.
But I think that's, if not explicit, that's kind of how people are thinking. Well, I spend a lot of money on the internet.
Yes, that's a perception that's been there for 20 years, right? I've heard that argument. And so I understand, you know, where it's coming from. But that, again, gets back to this idea of people not really understanding, this sort of the social contract with advertising-based content. And I don't think that that's going to change, there are audiences that are more sophisticated, whatever, that can understand some of this stuff, but that's not really the point. You know, the point is that, you know, we have to make a better case to our audience as to, you know, what we do and how we can provide them value, and then how, you know, we need to get a certain amount of value back from from them. So that's about telling our story, right? And that's something that you do, Leo, and you know that you have kind of innovated and you know have a way to do that. Everybody else has to think that same way, right? We're giving you this value and we expect this amount of value back, or we get this much value out of you, and so here's the value we give back.
Adblockinado? Adblockapalooza?
Wait, what was the first one you said?
Blockapalooza.
Blockapalooza, yeah. But that makes it sound like a party and a good thing, and it's totally not.
That's just true.
I think we'll look back at September 9th as a kind of a turning point in this. And
Blockapalooza.
Blockapalooza?
Blockapalooza.
Adblockapalooza.
I don't even know if it's going to be that bad of a thing. I think that it's going to cause people to have to change the manner in which we do advertising. And I think it's also going to deal with, you know, how people don't really understand the manner in which websites really run. But I think that, you know, I think that it's going to change that. I don't know if it has to be, though, bad. I think that we can find better ways or have better contracts with people so that, you know, people feel comfortable in the sites that they go to and we can still fund them as well.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what the side effects of this are. And I find it almost a little cynical that Apple's, they're not doing it. They're opening up the door to it. But it almost feels like it's to their advantage that they're doing this. Like, well, just look at the ads in the apps and not on Safari.
You should just go to the app, help serve the ads. Right. You can sell your ads there, or, you know, if you can't sell ads there, you know, then we'll sell, you know, ads for you there. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole pitch, you know? It's very hostile to content companies, which is not cool.
We'll see what happens. Georgia Dow is here from iMore.com. Don't forget anxiety-videos.com. If you or someone you know is suffering from anxiety, maybe it's a first step towards therapy. Maybe it's an adjunct to the therapy you're already getting. How do you feel about medication?
I usually, unless someone is you know, suicidal or they're really not able to live their life, I usually say let's try to do it without medication. Right. There's a lot of other things that you can do, but I'm completely neutral towards it. In the end, you know, just live your life, and there's some great medications out there that can make a huge difference to people. And if you can't get out of bed and if you can't do any of the exercise, or if you're having, you know, 3 or 4 panic attacks a day, great. There's some fabulous medication. It's not like, you know, your grandfather's medications that were out 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I think that it could be a great help, but usually I say, let's try to do it without, and then we'll see if things aren't moving along fast enough, then let's talk about some medications, and then we'll monitor and see what they're at. SSRIs are non-addictive, so you can go off of them. It doesn't have to be. You'll stay on them for life.
Yeah, that's interesting. Selective. Wait a minute. Don't tell me. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Whoa, Leo.
That's right.
That's amazing.
I have I don't know why. Impressive. I have a strange memory for acronyms.
That's brilliant.
Helped me not a whit in my career.
You might have went into the wrong career.
But what career is it that acronym?
NASA.
I always wanted to do a game show on this network called Acronym Olympics, but it's so boring that we'll never do it. Jason Hyer,
you're the only one that would
win every time.
Right.
Every time.
But you'd be alone. You're one listener.
It's boring. So, Jason Heiner is also here. If I could have only converted that to something useful. From Tech Republic and CBS Interactive. You were just in the Bay Area. You didn't tell me.
Ah, so sorry. I was at an event. Intel IDF was that.
Oh, week. How was that?
It was good.
That looks cool. You know, the spider? Who made that spider robot?
The spider, yeah. They're really, they've lost mobile and they know it. And so they're putting all their
Intel has lost mobile.
Yeah, yeah. They're not even close, right? So they're looking at what's next, which is Internet of Things and robots. And they're really putting a lot of emphasis on both of those things and doing some interesting things, you know, in that regard. Internet of Things, I think, is a risk there's a risk that they won't succeed in that either, because the reasons they've lost in mobile, because their chips are too expensive and they use too much power, are not power efficient enough, are even more of an issue in IoT in many cases than they are in mobile, except for when you're dealing with sort of bigger things. But in robotics, which require massive amount of processing, right, they are doing some really interesting things beyond just processing, but in terms of, you know, building in sensing to devices. They have this RealSense camera, which is essentially like Microsoft Kinect, but you imagine that in like every laptop and eventually in your phone and those kinds of things. Basically 3D scanner, 3D camera, be able to do 3D gestures. That they're building into lots of different things, and they're eventually, their idea is they want to be in robots as well. It's already in a few now, but anyway, they're doing super cool things. I really applaud them. They're also spending a lot of effort on security, both for Internet of Things and in other ways, you know, too, for PCs and other devices. And so they say that that's the thing that they're hearing the most from technologists and from businesses and organizations, is they're really worried about security right now. And so they're trying to build it in. And they're becoming a bit of a software company, right? They're because they're having to do software for that. So they're doing some smart stuff, which is beyond just sort of the chip that's going to power your next Windows PC, which is still the way most people think of them. But they're doing a lot more, which is,
they lost mobile, cool. Then ARM won mobile, right? And the problem is ARM is a lot of different companies. Over. It's Qualcomm, it's Samsung, hundreds of different companies making ARM devices. And then what happened to AMD? Are they around? I feel bad because I was rooting for AMD, because if it weren't for AMD, I think AMD came to Intel Honest. They get prices down. If it weren't for AMD, we probably wouldn't have the core processors.
Such a great company too.
I know.
Sorry, it's an easy company to root for. You know, they like, it's one of the greenest companies in the world. Like their headquarters is like one of the greenest. Mm. You know, buildings in the world. And they also, some of the nicest people I've ever met in the tech industry were from AMD. That's probably why they lost, because Intel is
too
so
nice.
Kind of cutthroat and
so,
you know, just ruthless in many ways, that they just ran over them. You know, they just completely bulldozed them.
But
they're still out there. They're still doing some things. But things are not super bright, over there for them. They're trying to find their way in the kind of post-PC world still.
Also hear from, I want to get the right website, techinsider.io, part of Business Insider. So it wouldn't be wrong to say Business Insider. Steve Kovac at Steve Kovac on the Twitter. You still use the Twitter?
Oh, constantly.
Yeah. Are you both?
I am a prolific tweeter. Anyone who follows me will probably get annoyed. But
I did something very wrong and bad on Twitter.
What's that?
I don't know if I should. I don't know if I should.
What did you do?
This.
Now you have to tell us.
Now you have to tell us.
Yeah.
So I got
this, like the giddy little smile you have. It is bad.
I got this dongle that goes. You never want to begin a sentence that way, by the way.
I like when
all things start with dongle.
I did something terribly wrong. I got this dongle that goes on my card. It's called an OBD, you know, the onboard diagnostic port. Right.
Yeah.
And it ties into software called Dash. And Dash records everything. And in fact, Dash yells at me if I accelerate too much or I just jam on the brakes. It actually says, stop it. And then, and all of this with an eye towards better gas mileage. But it also keeps track of all this stuff. And then I found out that If This Then That has a Dash connector. So now I tweet when I arrive at the studio. My car says, Leo, turn off the ignition. That If This Then That looks to see if I'm in the geographic area of the studio. And then it sends a tweet to Twitter saying, Leo just arrived at the studio.
Oh, I saw that. I saw you tweet that the other day.
Is that so bad?
Is that bad?
No.
Why is that
like,
bad?
I feel like that might be useful, because then people will know, well, Leo's here.
I wondered what that was. Because I saw you tweet that. I was like, what is he talking? It was like a swarm check-in, but kind of not. I don't know what was going on.
I've always hated automated things, but I just thought that, well, that's kind of useful.
Did anyone tweet you back?
Yeah, people hate it.
That's funny.
I think I'm going to have to turn it off. The reason I started playing with this is I've been starting to play with a messenger app called Telegram. Have any of you tried Telegram?
No.
There's so many. There's WhatsApp, Line, WeChat, Insta.
Slack.
There's millions of them. But Telegram, I kind of got into it. I like it. And it allows you to create bots. So I've created a bot called the Mechanical Leo. It's if you want,
a Twitter
if you
bot?
Yeah, no, it's a Telegram. I'm trying to do this on Twitter, but I can't. I do it on Telegram. So you have to follow me. You have to explicitly follow at Chief Twit Bot. But then it will tell you when a new show comes out. When I'm about to begin a show, if I post a picture or a blog post, it if you follow this bot, it just tells you. Like the last one, looks like Leo's about to go live with This Week in Tech.
Now, where does it get this information from? It's from Twitter that it then sends
no.
it out.
No, it's all these sensors. I eventually you'll know whether what I'm hearing, and if I'm here, Leo is deaf right now because he's turned off his hearing aids.
In 50 years, when you're gone, Leo, this will be doing
exactly.
All of your shows.
I want it to continue after my death. Anyway, it gets the information from a variety of sources. So there's a commercial version of this, if this then that, called Zapier. You have to pay.
Yes.
For it.
Yes. Yes.
So you have to pay for Zapier, but Zapier has all of these, like, it's different from this. It's similar to If This Then That. You make recipes. It works with Slack and stuff. So yeah. I have Zapier going out and look at things like if I post on Pinboard, if I update, it's scanning through things. I want to do more with that.
It's artificial intelligence. This is basically like the beginnings of artificial intelligence,
yeah.
right?
I feel like
it's super
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
You know, one of the cool things, do you have automatic? Is that the thing that you have in your car?
I do have automatic. Actually, this thing is Dash is the software.
Okay.
It's free software.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I use just kind of there's a million of these commoditized OBD ports. I'm using one called
yes.
OBDMX. They're $50. Okay. They're cheaper than automatic. Automatic would do something similar. But then I also, this is really, this is OCD. In Evernote, I will post. So here's Leo's vehicle trip completed. I will post complete. This is really automatic. Tells me how far I drove, 2.237062 miles, how many engine light alerts, hard brake alerts, hard acceleration alerts, speed alerts, SMS. If you had a teenager, this would be useful. How much fuel it consumed, how much it cost. It was a quarter. What the weather was like.
It's remarkable, yeah.
And that's in my Evernote.
Cool thing. But here's like
I
the
find
future.
It creepy. It's almost too much.
That's why I like it.
Less. I want things to know less about me. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
You know, I should be in technology, but
you shouldn't be in technology. And this is
too much. It's tracking.
You can only see it if you want
information to me, and I don't want to be tweeted out.
No,
where I go,
Georgia.
Home
it's okay.
That work,
Georgia. I'm going to work with you.
Okay.
This is called radical transparency.
Right.
It's the new thing. All the kids are doing it. And it's immensely freeing. No, it is. In fact, if everybody were radically transparent, there would be no television sitcoms. Follow my thinking here, because all sitcoms rely upon a misunderstanding that comes from miscommunication. All of them. Every situation is,
well, he didn't tell you that he was actually outside. And and
if everybody's radically transparent, then it eliminates all this drama.
Yeah, I think it changes a little when you're a woman. You probably don't want to be as radically transparent as to what you're doing, where you're going, how you feel. So I think that I have a little bit of a different mindset to that because of that.
That's sad. That's a shame.
I think that information is power. And I think that people, may have something that could be very dangerous in another part of the world. And so I think that you need to be careful that, we're very lucky that we live in a free part of the world, free-ish.
No, you're right. This is white male privilege.
Not everyone is.
Yeah, this is white male privilege speaking.
Yeah.
First world white male privilege. I can be radically transparent because what's going to happen to me? Nothing.
Yeah.
But something bad could. It's a shame. That's too bad because it is very freeing.
Yeah.
There are interesting – so there's people already that are doing stuff like with automatic and the combination of automatic and Internet of Things and sort of home automation where you can have automatic geofence, just exactly what you're doing, Leo. Like it senses when you're close to your house. And if you have the Chamberlain garage door opener that's connected to Wi-Fi, you pull up and it automatically opens your garage door, for example.
Yeah.
Without you having to hit the button.
What could possibly go wrong?
And then not only that, if you have August Smart Lock, it can unlock the door right to the inside of your garage automatically because you've geofenced, and then you use if this and that to, you know, to do it. And then it can also turn your lights on even when you get in automatically if you have smart lights. So there are people doing that right now. But again, to George's point, right? Like, so if somebody gets your car, can they go and do exactly that? Well, yeah. So, you know,
easier,
somebody could steal your car and break in.
Eliz in the chat room says, I can do this because I'm a high functioning sociopath. Let's just throw around diagnoses. What do you say? Let's take a break. We're going to come back with more. I'm something. I know I'm screwed up. I am. But I love it. You know what happens? This is great. You guys are all young. As you get older, you start to care less and less, frankly.
I think that that's healthy.
And that's great.
I think that we often care too much about what other people
think
and want and do, and we're not ourselves.
What is that? There's that old saying, when you're young, you think everybody's looking at you. Mm-hmm. When you get to a certain age, you start to realize nobody's thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves.
They're also themselves. Yeah. When you look at a group photo, who's the first person that you look at?
Right.
That's what everyone's doing.
Yep. Our show today brought to you by Backup. I would do an ad for Backup no matter what. Because you people need to back up. I don't mean back up your car. I mean back up your data. Especially if you're a business. I can't believe how many businesses do not have a disaster plan. And the thing is, if you lose, let's say there's a fire at your business and the computers go, but so do the backup drives in the closet, they're gone too. Now, how long before you get back in business? You just lost your customer list, your accounts receivable, your suppliers, everything is gone. It's almost impossible to reconstruct that unless you have offsite backup. And that's why I love Carbonite. Carbonite for business, it's a no-brainer. First of all, it's very affordable, flat rate. You pay once a year, or in fact, you could do 2 years or 3 years. You'll save a ton of money because it's flat rate. You don't pay for how much you're storing. It's just, you store it. It's stored in the cloud where it's safe. The backups have backups. More than 1.5 million homes and small businesses use Carbonite. And the thing about Carbonite is it's simple. I know a lot of you geeks say, well, I'm going to roll my own with, and you'd drive a Python script that writes to Amazon's Glacier and... But yeah, you could do that, or you could just install Carbonite and forget it. This is a great solution. Carbonite.com. You'll get 2 free bonus months when you use our offer code TWIT. You got to back it up to get it back. This is not the time to geek out. This is the time to protect your data. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT, and you'll get 2 months free. Actually, that's one thing I don't know how accurate it is, but that's one thing my Samsung will do. It has the S-Health. So there's some sort of weird thing on the back that will read your heart rate, but then it also says it will read your blood oxygen level and your stress level. So I'm always stressed. I'm never,
every time you try it, it says you're stressed.
I am never not stressed.
Wow.
Now you have to place that onto your skin?
Yeah, you want? I'll show you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of
to the watch.
It's
kind of
cool. Actually, let me take the back off. It has nothing to do with the watch.
So, I think it used to just be a heart rate monitor. I guess they added more stuff.
So it keeps track of your steps. There's my heart rate, my SpO2. I don't know what that is. Oxygen. And here's stress. So let's measure my stress. Now you put your finger on the sensor here, right? And it starts to shine a bright red light in there. Whoa! Except that if you accidentally close it. Okay, measuring. Try to keep still and quiet.
We'll scream at you to raise your stress level.
We'll see how much we talk, how much he gets stressed when we speak to him.
Stress is going down. It takes a long time to measure stress.
What is the definition of stress?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't tell you.
Okay.
How fast you're, increased of your blood pressure. So when we're more stressed, we end up getting more adrenaline and cortisol in our system, which, pumps out more blood to our main muscle groups so we could get out of danger faster. So it's reading that. So our heart starts to beat a little faster. Our breathing goes a little bit quicker, but that's just to get out of danger.
And then it says, tell me how you're feeling.
I like a little emoji thing.
There's a little emoji.
I like that.
I'm fearful. The green is low, and high is red, and I'm really right on the edge of high. But I've never been any lower than that.
So. That's like Mike Arrington mode.
I'm always like a little, yeah. I'm fearful.
You're fearful? Is that what it says?
Yeah. It's bullshit.
Really?
All it's right. Anyway, I'm on the show. I am scared of women. You know that about me, Georgia. I'm. Aren't we all, though, really? Let's face it. Gia, did I say too much? Let's move on. That was painful. Amazon is getting rid of the Fire Phone, folks. You know what? That was a flop.
Oh, boy. God, yeah.
One of the biggest flops ever.
And they say they're curtailing development of consumer products like the Fire Phone, consumer devices. At the same time, I feel like the Echo is a home run. Yeah.
Echo's awesome.
Layoffs with this is the secretive Lab 126, its hardware development center. First layoffs in 11 years.
I think this is mostly, you know, I would think phone and tablet kind of group. They haven't said that, and that this is just pure conjecture, you know, on my part. But that's my sense of it. I think things like the Echo, things like the Fire TV, which are right on target, I think they'll continue to do more.
Apparently, the Fire TV is way outselling the Apple TV. It's doing really well.
Would not surprise me at all. Yeah. I would could see them doing more of that. You know, tablet is a race to the bottom. You know, phone is a race to the bottom. E-reader, they still kind of have a corner on that market. You know, it's
Kindle's
not
the best.
Great.
Yeah, it's the best. Yep. Whatever happened to the Kobo or the? I mean, they're all gone, aren't they?
A toast. Sony ducked out of it.
Sony got out of it. Kobo's still around, I think.
The BNN reader, you know, which wasn't bad, but, you know, that squarish one that they had, which was not a bad device. It was a really pretty good device.
Here's an interesting one.
Yeah.
I have a dash button. Anybody buy a dash button?
No.
Oh, my gosh. No.
No.
So this is where Amazon is so brilliant. I can see Jeff Bezos having a fever dream, waking up and saying, make a button. You push it. It orders a product. Done. Profit. So when you buy it with the brand on it. So I bought Cottonelle toilet paper because I figure, well, there's one thing you'd want a button for. It'd be toilet paper. And when you run out, you press the button and it orders more toilet paper. Now, unfortunately, it's only second day delivery, so you're going to be stuck on the job for a while. But it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. But what I realize now is I don't need this button anymore because they've added it. I can tell Echo, if I've bought something before, and I can just say, buy that again. And it will just do it. It just said, okay, fine. This is where Amazon's brilliant. This stuff is going to sell more product for Amazon than anything, right?
For people with kids, would they, if you press the button multiple times, is it going to send?
Nope. They thought of that. Nope. They thought of that. It's debounced. So the first time you press the button and it orders it, and until the stuff comes, you can't order it again.
That's fair.
Remember they announced this on April 1st and everybody thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally thought it was a joke. Yeah, so did I. I think it's still a joke, but you know.
No, it works. I tried it. I installed it. You pair it to your Wi-Fi. It's $5 and it's an ecological disaster.
Because it's completely. They should be giving it away for free.
First of all, they should give it away. But second, it's a tote because you can't replace the battery or anything. It's just a disposable piece of colorful crap.
I didn't know you couldn't replace the battery.
You can't do anything. It stops working. You throw it out and you get a new one.
This might be the end of Western society as we know it. I mean, this thing is like, you've got to be kidding me, you know, that this
Fortunately, I don't think this is going to sell like hotcakes, but imagine an archaeologist 1,000 years from now and our entire civilization is buried under dash buttons. You know, like, my God, what were they doing?
This is like a Wally moment, right? Like with all
It's Wally.
You know, piled up.
So I got it. I did the pairing. You do that within your Amazon. It's built in, believe it or not, it's built in your Amazon app that you already have on your phone. And you just go and look at devices. Oh, there's one of my devices. And you pair it. And then it has a little sticky back. You put it on the shelf. You don't have to lick it. That's just.
You don't have to lick it.
No.
He was just doing that for fun.
It's because it looks good. So I thought long and hard, where am I going to put this? And I thought, no, I'll put it in the pantry. I don't really want it in the bathroom because it'll raise false hopes. So I put it in.
Your drone to bring you the toilet paper immediately.
Yeah, you think, oh, my God, thank God there's a button here. And then you'd sit.
Yeah.
and sit.
So I put like it, you thought of it.
But I'm thinking. See, I am an empathetic person. I put myself in the position.
Leo, that you might be onto something. Like that might be their next thing. Like you're in the bathroom, you hit the button, a drone will bring you toilet paper.
Roll of toilet paper.
Let it in the door.
You joke, but if Amazon could do it, it would be huge. They just need to do it. They have to figure out.
I would buy that.
Yeah, who wouldn't? Who hasn't been stuck sitting there? I don't want to go into this. So I know. I'm thinking that you can see my brain's working. Should I go there? No, I'm not going to go there. So I push the button. You look at you. Put it on the wall. And I push the button. 2 days later, toilet paper came. It worked.
So you do have to at least have enough forethought to know that you need toilet paper in two days.
But you're in the pantry, right? And you're looking. You go, oh, well, you know, there's only one roll left, and you push the button. But the problem is, it's only for one product. So now you have to have dozens of these all over the pantry. Yeah. So I think the Echo is the right thing because you could actually say to the Echo, order more toilet paper, and it will. In fact, watch this.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense.
This is fun.
Hold on, it's there.
Alexa, order more toilet paper. At least 50 people in our audience are going to get toilet paper in 2 days.
Oh, no.
I have my Echo here, but luckily you're wired into my headphones, so it didn't wake it up. It's like literally right over there.
Man, you just punk like your whole audience.
Okay, moving on. Speaking of Exodi, is that the plural of Exodus? Exodus.
You got someone in the chat room, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
I know. You think I'm joking. Little worrisome. Google Now folks are leaving. Now, I think Google Now is awesome. But apparently that was more of a Larry Page thing. Sundar Pichai, less of a Google Now guy. And it turns out that even during Google I.O. when they were announcing Now on Tap, people had already left. I think only one of the original team is still there. Should I worry, Steve? Is that the end of the? Is this? Is it going to be over, or is this?
No,
I don't know if it's going to be over.
I wouldn't read too much into it.
Okay, let's, Steve.
The timing is bad because of like Facebook just announced their M assistant, which is powered by real people and so forth. But like Google Now's, it's baked into Android. It's an awesome product. It's more like it's more search than anything, right? Anyway, right? So I don't think it's going to go away. Okay. And it's Now on Tap is awesome. Maybe Sundar is like shuffling things around or something, but that thing is such a home run. It was light years ahead of Siri when they first announced it. I still think it's better than Siri. The timing is bad because Facebook is getting into the space, and we're just talking to Amazon and Alexa and so forth. But I think we don't have to worry about it. If you love Google Now, it's
going to
stick around.
Let's talk about this Facebook thing. It was rumored it was going to be called Money Penny. They decided to call it M. It's tied into Messenger, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's neat. Yeah. They have all these contractors who will do anything for you.
It's people.
I mean, they're only testing in the so they won't say how many they have, but it's in the Bay Area only for now. So I guess you can try it if you want.
No, I tried. It's San Francisco. I'm too far north.
Oh, like actually just in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay. And there are other services like this. I think Path had something similar to it maybe. And there are a few others. Like you can, these services where you text and like this human being will like do everything you want for you for free, which I don't know how you make money on that, but it doesn't matter.
Who was it? Was it Chris? I think it was Chris Messina, the father of the hashtag, which, by the way, just celebrated the fifth anniversary of the hashtag. He tweeted, why don't we use, a number sign plus a word to have a Twitter search? And that became. So anyway, Chris is a great guy. He had signed up for some maid service, does the same thing. You text them and they come. And he couldn't cancel. So then he signed up for another personal assistant service and texted them to cancel the maid service, and it worked.
Wow. The world we live in. Buttons for toilet paper and assistants taking care of other assistants.
It's, yeah.
Man.
What
a world.
I think this is a... Would you use something like this, Georgia, if you could message a personal assistant? Sure you would, wouldn't
this,
you?
This actually interests me, and I'm not a Facebook user, but I love the idea of like trying to find a gift for a friend, and an actual person is going to personalize it and be able to tell me what would be the best thing to do, because that would save me time, and I don't have a lot of it. So
right.
I'm intrigued. Yeah. Or a restaurant reservation where you're going to be on the phone forever. That sounds fabulous.
Yeah, just could you hold on for me while I go do something else? And
exactly. I would love if they would wait in line at the bank as well, but I'll wait for that.
Yeah, it is sort of interesting, right? It's kind of like the idea of, like, can technology be more helpful? Can it create, like, more meaningful connections between people? Because that's ultimately what this is trying to do, right? It's connect you with someone that can help you in a meaningful way.
There's AI in it, but the AI is only used to the extent that it contacts a human.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. Like that makes sense. So I like that Facebook's trying to do something different, right? That they're trying to take advantage of what they have, which is a huge network of people. And it is a more sort of people oriented, service. So I think it is, it's intriguing. And it's interesting to see them doing something different, not trying to do the same kinds of things with this stuff that, Apple and Amazon and Google are already doing and are already pretty good at and are, slugging it out right now.
Let's take a break. We'll come back some final words, and I'm going to ask you if you know what Netflix and chill means. Oh, somebody does.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I know. Do you know, Georgia?
I might know.
I just found out. Our show today brought to you by Prosper, a really brilliant way to solve a kind of a conundrum. If you need some cash to fix up your house or to maybe pay off some high interest rate credit cards, you don't have a whole lot of choices. If you want, I guess you could go to a family member. That's, that's sticky. That's messy. You could go to a loan shark. No. You could put pants on, put on a necktie, nice hat, and go to the bank and say, please, sir, may I have some money? None of these are the best way to do it. Thanks to the internet, there's a better way. Prosper. Prosper is something that the couldn't exist without the internet. It's what they call a peer-to-peer lending marketplace. So it's a marketplace for people who have money to lend, brings them together with people who are looking to borrow money, and it works great. It's amazing. If you can borrow up to $35,000, take you as little as 5 days. These are low fixed rate interest. In fact, you can go right now to prosper.com/twit and find out what your rate would be without affecting your good credit. Prosper, prosper.com/twit. Don't rack up more debt on those high rate credit cards. If there's one thing you would do right away, do it. Pay it off with Prosper. Get a low fixed rate payment. You'll know exactly what you pay every month. You can get out from under. There's so many reasons you might want to borrow as much as $35,000 in just a few days, and this is the way to do it, prosper.com. And for a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Visa gift card with your low-interest loan. You can get up to $35,000 in your account in as few as 5 days, plus a $50 Visa gift card, prosper.com/twit. Speaking of layoffs, Angry Birds, folks, Rovio cutting another 260 people. But what did they have 800 employees for? They had 800 employees. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but you have one hit, Angry Birds. Rovio, which was huge, they laid off 110 employees last October, another 260 jobs, down from 800. Kind of sad.
Yeah.
Just shows how hard, though, it is to come up with a second one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything in life is kind of like that. You have a huge hit and it's tough to replicate, right? In anything. I remember somebody we all know, Ryan Block.
I remember him. Whatever happened to Ryan Block?
I remember when he left Gizmodo, Engadget. And he said something really wise, especially I think he must have been late 20s at the time. And he was like, look, this has been amazing. I had a great time doing this. And I fully realize that I may never do anything that's this successful again. But there's a lot of other things I'd like to try. And there's a lot of other things I'd like to spend my time doing. And I'm going to go and do those. And I thought that that was, you know, really wise. And, you know, most people don't think that way. Most people think like, I'm on top of the world. I'm doing something that's just on fire. And the next thing I do is absolutely going to be just as amazing.
Isn't that the worst thing you can do is be a great success in your 20s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It's tough, right? Because you
all know what that's like.
How can you ever replicate it?
Yeah. Georgia, you deal with people who suffer from early success? You know, I was reading. Did you read? I felt so bad. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but Marcus Persson, the guy who invented Minecraft.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, this guy sold Minecraft for how much to Microsoft? Billions. He made billions. A
couple billion.
Yeah. And he kept a lot of it. I mean, he had, I think, close to half the company. Tweeting this week, like, how depressed he is, how lonely he is, how sad he is.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing. It doesn't even have to be that you're doing this when you're young at life. I think that any time that you feel like you're on top of the world, you get a lot of accolades. You get a lot of outside feelings of self-esteem and self-worth, and that releases in your brain the natural reward hormone, that neurotransmitter, which is dopamine. And then when you go back to being, you know, normal, and people aren't following you and wanting to hear everything that you do, you cause a decrease in the amount of dopamine, which can bring on a depression. And a lot of people that are actors, actresses, like, you know, dealing with doing great, wonderful things, and everyone knows who you are, it's a huge drop. And so you need to also remember to kind of build that internal modes of self-esteem, because it's devastating to people. And it's a situational depression, which is much easier to deal with, in that you know that it's caused because of something, but it's still just as emotionally devastating.
Listen to this. This
is
Notch. This is Notch. Yesterday, 2:50 in the morning, hanging out in Ibiza with a bunch of friends and partying with famous people, able to do whatever I want, and I've never felt more isolated.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with getting everything is you run out of reasons to keep trying, and human interaction becomes impossible due to imbalance. People really reached. This is interesting that he tweeted this. I mean, that's a very public. It's kind of a cry for help. I don't know.
Yes, it is. It definitely is.
He says, in Sweden, I'll sit around, and this is all within a few minutes. I will sit around and wait for my friends with jobs and families to have time to do stuff, watching my reflection in the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great girl, but she's afraid of me and my lifestyle, and went with a normal person instead. Then the next day, though, he tweeted something like, I'm having a great time. But a lot of people, I think, were touched by that, wanted to reach out. So many people were influenced by Minecraft and honor Notch for his successes. But it just shows you can be this vast success.
Yes, and people, I don't think that people really know the cost of being successful, or how it excludes you. You become not the same as everyone else, and how people treat you is different, and then you don't know who's really your friend versus people that want to be your friend just because you were this success. And so it also causes that disjoint in social interactions, which can be very difficult.
And attention is a drug, right? Like it's this natural drug, like George is saying, and you get used to that and you like it, and you know, you depend on that. And when you don't have it, then, you know, it becomes painful and isolating and lonely. And so
it actually becomes normal, like, right? If you've received tons of accolades all the time, that becomes your normal base level of normality. So it's not even a high. That's just normally how you feel good. And then that's why you end up with that decrease, because your body has adapted to having that much dopamine in its system being released because of things. And so it can happen in many different. I remember when I first started therapy, I would get all these highs from helping people. And on the weekends, I felt a little bit down and low because I was not helping people like I was before. And so I had to think, oh, what's happening? And then I'm like, oh, okay, I understand what the process is, which made it a little bit better to easier to deal with.
One of the reasons we can identify with this too is because I think we can identify with Notch. Like he was a nerd like us, or like me anyway. And he, you know, wrote this great program, and it's kind of lightning in a bottle, made $1 billion.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any more skills to deal with it than anybody would. He's a nerd. He probably has fewer because he's an introvert. I'm sure he's an introvert. And anyway, Notch, I hope you're getting some love and some help. And stay safe.
Yes.
I think we should wrap it up. I don't. It's kind of a sad note, but I think we've done a great. We've done our job here. We can move on, happy in the knowledge that we've helped so many people in their daily lives. And Steve Kovac is tweeting like a madman.
Yeah, always.
You do tweet a lot. Holy cow!
How many tweets did you? Did
how many
you
tweets
send,
during the show? Yeah,
during the show.
No, only
not
two.
That many.
Just a couple.
Yeah. I thought we were going to talk about Netflix and chill, so I tweeted, I teased that a little bit.
Oh, well, we can. What is, so I had never heard that phrase before, although as soon as I heard it, I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's what the kids.
Equivalent of you want to watch a movie. That's
right.
What we did in college.
Right.
It's like come to my dorm room and watch a movie.
It was Blockbuster and chill, right?
No, we're just like, let me put a DVD in and we'll watch Kill Bill or something for 5 minutes and then start making out.
Yeah. And in fact, there's a great BuzzFeed series of pictures from BuzzFeed kind of putting this in perspective. You said Netflix and chill, the cat all over the hamster.
Can you imagine all these like poor clueless teenagers that are saying this by accident and not realizing it?
Here's a good one. 20 minutes of The Lord of the Rings and chill, and he gives me this look.
I love it.
It's like the Tinder of internet euphemisms now.
Here it is, Blockbuster and kick it. anyway, now you know. When you're on a budget but still trying to get down, YouTube and chill. You know, I think that actually works. When he start kissing the neck before Netflix even load. Okay, we'll move on. Thank you. See, in my day, it was Nesquik and chill. Georgia, you had no idea what that meant.
I didn't until I read the notes.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. I think Anthony knew though.
I think that for women, it's just kind of like if a guy's asking you over to his place,
you know,
you're kind of like, oh, you know. Yeah. Like I don't think that it really matters.
Doesn't matter what he says after that.
You're kind of like you're like
Yeah. It's so different for women.
It is completely different. Yeah. Men still expect guys to do most of the work to try to get a female, and females don't have the same amount of work. Well, look at the Ashley Madison stats, right? It was like 20 million men and 1,400 girls that were real girls. That's
so pathetic. That's so pathetic.
It is much easier for women to find a relationship, which is really, you know, difficult. It's really difficult to get out there. And now, you know, we're becoming more introverted with technology, not better at it, unfortunately. Yeah.
It's like Saturday night at the bars. 12 million men and 4,000 girls.
Yeah.
Sad. Georgia Dow, you are at iMore.com doing great work. Stay away from her, guys. She can kick your ass. Two-time champion in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Canadian champion. Okay? Is that why you learned that?
I just wanted to become a superhero.
Powerful.
So I couldn't
Powerful.
Do that.
She's
so.
Wonder Woman. She doesn't even need bracelets. She just does.
Bracelets.
Awesome. You are awesome. And again, the website, which I, in all seriousness, I think this is great to promote it.
Thank you.
Anxiety-videos.com.
Yes. Yes. And if you know someone that's suffering, like you truly do not have to suffer with it.
Yes.
So you can get help. It doesn't have to be these videos, whichever way it might be.
Good on you. Appreciate you doing that. Jason Heiner, he's at CBS Interactive. His book is now up to chapter 8?
Chapter 8. So chapter 7 is Chase Jarvis.
It's
available for about 48 more hours.
Yes.
You can still read for free online. We release every chapter online for free. Serial publishing.
Yep.
And then the next chapter we just announced today that will be released this week on Wednesday. Is actually Juliana Rotic, who is the co-founder and executive director of Ushahidi, which is the amazing company that has created They created in 2008 this mapping software, which sounds simple enough, right? But it was in following the presidential elections in Kenya, disputed presidential elections, they cut off, you know, communication, and people couldn't figure out what was going on. This software let people, you know, from their phones be able to essentially do citizen journalism, to report incidents, to report things that were happening on the ground. And so it gave, you know, the citizens of the country an idea of where, you know, places to avoid, where they could go to get resources and help if they need it. And from there, it's taken off like wildfire. And now Ushahidi is used, you know, all over the world. And it's not just with SMS. It's also now it's web SMS. It's used with apps. It's used with Twitter. Twitter has a special relationship with them. Like if in places of crisis, they can use this software. People can tweet stuff. And then that gets triangulated on this tweet map. So anyway, Juliana is a really amazing person. She also did she does all kinds of other technology products. She started as a computer scientist. And, you know, now she runs Ushahidi and is also a globally in-demand speaker, one of the most in-demand speakers in the tech world. She had a TED Talk last year about this other thing that they do, Brick, which is a little modem and power generator for remote areas so that you don't lose your internet connection. She did a TED Talk about that that got, you know, over 500,000 views and is translated into 30 languages. So, you know, she's really amazing. She's one of the people that a lot of people maybe don't know a lot about. She doesn't necessarily toot her own horn, but she's one of the people that we feel like is one of the most important digital innovators in the world. And so we can't wait to share her story this week.
Nice. Followthegeeksbook.com. Two more days you can read about Chase Jarvis, which you should do. And yes, there have been so many great people in all of these chapters. Many people you know, yes, if you're a Twit follower, Baratunde Thurston. By the way, Baratunde just got a job with The Daily Show.
The Daily Show,
as their digital strategist. Nice going, Baratunde.
Yes, that's he's a really national great treasure, that guy. Yeah.
Chapter 2, Lisa Bettany. Chapter 3, Gina Trapani. Chapter 4, Tom Merritt. Chapter 5, Veronica Belmont. O'Malik. Chapter 6, Chase Jarvis. Some really great. This is, can't wait to, when will you be done? How many chapters total?
Yeah. 10 chapters.
Okay.
So we're almost done. I mean, really, most of the book is finished. We're still over the next couple months releasing the last two chapters.
And if you missed, like, say, the Baratunde chapter, is there a way that you could read that now?
Yes. So one of the reasons we've done this the way we're doing it, releasing one chapter at a time to give people a chance to read it while we're working on it, is so that we can get feedback from users. And one of our readers suggested, they're like, hey, I missed one of these chapters and I pre-ordered the book.
Yeah.
And they're like, could I actually just get access to the other ones online? And we thought, that's a great idea. So now if you pre-order the book, any of the versions, it's available in ebook, audiobook, paperback, and hardback. If you pre-order any of the versions of the book, we will give you, we'll send you a confirmation email. And with that, you'll get the way that you can access the full archive of the chapters that have already published.
Follow the Geeks.
Yes.
Follow the Geeks, plural, book.com. Thank you, Jason.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And thanks to your co-author, Lindsay Gilpin. We got to give her credit as well.
Lindsay's amazing. Yeah. And, you know, we split the work, you know, 50-50. And really, it wouldn't have happened for her because I've been saying I should write this book for years. And Lindsay was like, well, you should do it now. And what are you waiting for? And so if it weren't for her, this wouldn't have happened. And she's also an amazing writer and just a great, great, great person. Also, Tech Republic. One other piece of news: Tech Republic. We just hired somebody that that Twit listeners will know very well. Dan Patterson. Awesome
nice
guy. One of the best tech reporters in the business. And Dan comes to work for us in October. So we just announced it this week. And Dan will be a writer, senior writer for Tech Republic. He'll also be doing some podcasting and some other things as well. And so, yes, very well known to Twit listeners.
That's great. Finally, Dan has found a home. He's been traveling all over the internet, and he's great. Love
yes
Dan. All right,
amazing.
Good. Nice. Thank you also for being here, Steve Kovac. Congratulations on the new kind of new gig.
Yeah, thank you. We've been live for about a month, actually almost exactly a month now. So it's steaming right along. So
it's really beautiful.
Check it out.
You know what I like? It's very clean, very simple. Wait a minute. I'm running an ad blocker. Never mind. no, it's gorgeous. Really nice design. And I like the mix because it isn't just kind of geeky stuff. It's, you know, an article about Oliver Sacks. And then an article about the Apple TV.
We're not just another gizmo gadget blog.
Yeah.
We're really exploring these themes of innovation and digital culture. You know, tech is just one nugget of everything our ambition. So you'll see iPhone news, but you'll see a lot of other really cool stuff too.
It looks really
check
nice.
Check it out.
Yeah, I'm really
proud of the team and what we're doing and more to come. And we're just gonna get grow and grow and grow. I can't wait.
Everybody should run to techinsider.io and follow along with Steve's Twitter feed because it's bizarre at Steve.
Say the least.
Hey, thank you for being here, everybody. We appreciate you watching Twit each and every week. If you want to watch live, it's fun to do that. You can do that 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2200 UTC on Twit. twit.tv/live if you want the specific page. You can also be here in studio. We had a great studio audience. Thank you all for being here today. I know it is always a very long, boring show, but you stayed, most of you. If you want to be here in the audience, we'll try to get you a comfortable chair. Can't promise. Email. I'm really selling it, aren't I? Email tickets. I just feel guilty. I'm sorry. Tickets at twit.tv, and we'll try to be nice to you. And I think soon a can of Dinty Moore under every chair, I think, is the new. Ooh. I think that's the new way we're going to get people. I may be wrong. If you can't watch live or be in the studio live, there is a third way. All of the shows on Twit are available after the fact on demand, either from our website, twit.tv, or where you get your shows. And there's lots of places, of course, iTunes and the Xbox store and your podcast app on your mobile device. And there's even Twit apps. We don't write them, but some great Twit apps from our third-party developers on all the platforms, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, even Roku. And that'll make it easy for you to watch wherever you want, whenever you want. We just want you to watch. Make sure you subscribe. That way you won't miss an episode. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for being here. Oh, wait a minute. Before I go, do we know who's on Triangulation tomorrow? Because I always forget to promote that. We always have great people. I could probably quickly check. I'll do that. I should have done that before the show. I'm not very well prepared. Triangulation is our Monday morning review show. Ooh, Drew Curtis is coming up. That'll be fun.
Is it Alan Stern?
Alan Stern, who's the principal investigator for the New Horizons. That's the satellite that just went around Pluto and is now going on to the Kuiper Belt. That'll be really great. We talk space tomorrow, 11 a.m. That's the next show. I do. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Another Twit
this is
in the can. Bye-bye.
Yay.